The Preston and Steve Daily Podcast is presented by Acme. Acme, fresh foods, local flavors, and the official supermarket of MMR's Preston and Steve Show.
93.3 WMMR, audio on demand, presents the Preston and Steve Show podcast. And now, Preston and Steve's news updates with Kathy Romano.
Today is Wednesday, September 16th. Good morning, Kathy.
Good morning. In the news this morning, President Donald Trump faced uncommitted voters head-on in a 90-minute town hall special hosted by ABC News. The event was held at the historic National Constitution Center in Philadelphia. ABC News chief anchor George Stephanopoulos anchored the event titled The President and the People. The forum provided uncommitted voters the opportunity to ask the president their questions on issues affecting Americans, from the coronavirus pandemic and economic recovery to protests for racial justice and climate change. The guests selected by ABC came from a wide background. Some previously voted for Trump, others did not. The most discussed topic was about coronavirus. Trump, to no surprise, defended his administration's response. It came off from China. They should have never let it happen. And if you look at what we're doing with ventilators and now vaccines, we're close to having vaccines, said Trump. The president also answered questions about comments he made to journalist Bob Woodward about downplaying the coronavirus. Trump says he didn't downplay the coronavirus pandemic, even though he told Woodward that he did so intentionally. Trump told Woodward that he always wanted to play it down because he didn't want people to panic. He also called the virus deadly stuff. There were a number of road closures and SEPTA delays yesterday during the president's visit. Everything reopened last night and is moving along as normal this morning. A pregnant woman is in critical condition after she was struck by stray bullets during a shooting in the Port Richmond section of Philadelphia late Tuesday. Officers on patrol reported hearing gunshots at about 10 p.m. on the 1900 block of East Somerset Street. Police said they found the 28-year-old victim on the sidewalk with gunshot wounds to her neck and chest. She was rushed to Temple University Hospital, where she remains in extremely critical condition. Sources confirmed that the woman is pregnant, but were not sure how far along she was in the pregnancy or whether the baby had survived. Investigators said that they had at least two men in custody. Police said a witness told them that two males were at the shooting scene and that at least one of them fired a gun. Investigators said they found two guns and said that some of the rounds that were fired came from a long gun rifle. Detectives are reviewing surveillance video in the area in search of more clues for their investigation. Transgender activist Sarah McBride won a Democratic state Senate primary in Delaware on Tuesday and is poised to make history as the first transgender person elected to the state's General Assembly. McBride, who interned at the White House during President Barack Obama's administration, made history at the 2016 Democratic National Convention by becoming the first transgender person to speak at a major party convention. She later served as the National Press Secretary for the Human Rights Campaign. McBride defeated Joseph McColl on Tuesday to advance to the November general election. The Senate district in contention stretches from northern Wilmington to the Pennsylvania border, and she has been held by Democratic Harris McDowell since 1976. McDowell, who is retiring and endorsed McBride, is the longest serving legislator in Delaware history. In sports this morning. The Phillies beat the New York Mets last night at the ballpark. Yeah. Jake Arrieta pitched well into the sixth inning before leaving with a hamstring injury. Didi Gregorius hit a two-run home run, and the Phillies beat the New York Mets 4-1. The series continues tonight. Jacob deGrom will pitch for the Mets, while Aaron Nola gets the start for the Phillies. Game time is scheduled for 7:05. In the NBA playoffs, the Miami Heat beat the Boston Celtics 117-114 in overtime in Game 1 of the Eastern Conference Finals. Jimmy Butler's three-point play with 12 seconds left put Miami ahead. Bam Adebayo blocked Jason Tatum at the rim on Boston's next possession, and the Heat held on for the win. Out west, Denver's Jamal Murray and Nick Jokic led an impressive turnaround as the Nuggets advanced to the Western Conference Finals for the first time since 2009. Murray scored 40 points. Jokic had a triple-double by the third quarter, and Denver overcame another double-digit deficit to shock the favored Los Angeles Clippers 104-89 in Game 7. And in the Stanley Cup Finals, the New York Islanders stayed alive with a 2-1 double overtime win over the Tampa Bay Lightning. Jordan Eberle scored on a 2-on-1 break 12:30 into the second overtime and forced the Game 6, which will be tomorrow night in Edmonton. And that's what I have for you this morning.
All right. Thank you, Farmer Kathy. It is a
Farmer?
Win.
Yeah. Oh, right.
We'll talk about that later.
Okay, yeah. I was like, what? What do you mean?
Kathy's... Kathy had to go out and check livestock this morning.
Is that right?
I'll explain later right. on. It's an interesting little thing here. But yes, I was surprised to hear about this thing going on at the Romano
house. I did have to do something this morning before I left.
I know you did. So we welcome you to Wednesday. A couple things that happen on Wednesdays. Fox Good Day, so we'll go on TV this morning. We will also have a secret text word, and today we have your chance to win an Amazon Fire TV stick and a 1 month subscription to Philo.
Nice.
Is it Philo or Philo? I guess it's Philo.
I don't know. I think it's Philo.
Philo.
I know there's Philo dough.
So, yeah, maybe it's the same thing. So, text the word secret to 39333, which you can do right now. And we're going to send a word back to you later on. We'll ask you to call in with the word. The designated caller wins the Fire Stick and the subscription. And we'll grab a random text or two. So, why not go ahead and give it a shot? As far as guests go, we have Joe Frost, the super nanny.
Yeah.
She will be joining us today because they have, is it a debut or new episode is coming up? Yeah, on September 22nd. So we will talk to Joe Frost later on this morning, and I can say, Joe, I love you. Which I do. I love her. So,
Joe, I love you. Joe, I love you.
She will be joining us, and we have some stuff to give away. Don't forget our Word of the Week prize, $300 Visa gift card. So, opportunity to snag that and more. So,
yes.
Yeah, that's it. That's it. Hopefully, you'll stick with us through the program. We're going to take a break and come back in a moment, and I'll get you the entertainment stories and a stupid question with some stuff to give to you. Hang for the ride in. We shall accompany you where you need to be. We'll be right back.
Listen to all the WMMR podcasts as well as a live stream on your Alexa-enabled device. Just say, Alexa, open MMR.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
All right, so the prize for the stupid question this morning is Carlo Pass for up to four people to see Nate Bargatze, who's going to be at the Circle Drive-In Theater in Scranton on Thursday, September 24th. The question I have for you today is as follows. Which literary character is often depicted with a top hat featuring a label that reads, In His Style, 10/6? Which literary character is often depicted with a top hat featuring a label that reads, In this style, not his style, in this style, 10/6. 215-263-WMMR. Call now. Let's see if you know the answer. I'll go through some birthdays while we're waiting for your answer. It's Wednesday, September 16th. It is Mickey Rourke's birthday today.
Ah.
He is celebrating his 68th birthday today.
I was just watching a YouTube video on the making of Iron Man 2. And they, of course, he played Whiplash. Mm-hmm. Kind of a weird, my birth. It's okay, Mickey, if people can actually understand your dialect with your Russian accent. But all he ever is the wrestler, man, what a great performance.
I think his finest performance.
It's just amazing. And I wish he could do more of that.
Yeah, it's a hard movie. It's a sad movie.
And
so well done.
He tugs at the heartstrings. He's a real person.
Yeah.
Instead of his bird.
Instead of
bird. when he went up against Coco Beware with his parrots on his shoulders.
Right.
I don't know what that means.
Coco Beware, he had birds on his shoulder.
Oh, he was a wrestler?
He was a wrestler.
Yeah. He had birds? He had birds.
Birds.
Mickey Rourke is 68 today. Mark Anthony, the singer and ex-husband of Jennifer Lopez. Yes. The song that I had in Kathy's birthday video that I did a drum video for.
And did you say you wear his fashion?
I have bought at Kohl's quite a bit from the Mark Anthony collection. I actually enjoy his clothing line. And you know what? I'm not familiar with Mark Anthony's music at all. So I went in and I wanted to do some salsa music for Kathy's birthday video that I made. And so I just plugged in salsa music and this came up as one of the top tracks. And it was Mark Anthony. And so I started learning the drum part. I'm like, this is actually really good.
Yeah. Did you see the picture of, speaking of Mark Anthony, the Jennifer Lopez picture of her?
I did.
Oh, my God. Yeah. 51 on the beach.
She looks fantastic.
Mark Anthony is 52 years old today. Amy Poehler celebrates her birthday. She's 49.
I'm watching Parks and Rec again. I've watched it 3 or 4 times.
All right, what do I have to do to get past the part where it sucks?
It doesn't suck. It just starts slowly.
Yeah, it starts slowly.
The first season of The Office is kind of slow. I don't think that it's great. But once you get to know the characters, you start to love it. And I found once you get past season 1.5 or whatever with Parks and Rec, it's on par with the Office.
You know
it's
what I say, show. Nick? Yeah. Probably a good point of delineation where it really makes its jump to really good is when Chris Pratt becomes instead of just the deadbeat husband, becomes the boyfriend of
he's not really even a star in the first season. We had the male lead in studio when that show started. It's that guy Paul something or other, and he left after one season or whatever.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and so he's not very memorable. But Amy Poehler and the rest of the cast are great.
She is, I should say, Amy Poehler is 49. Jennifer Tilly, the actress, movies like Bound and Liar Liar and the Chucky movies.
Moving Violations.
Yep, going way back. She's 62 today. Ed Begley Jr., who is one of the stars of the Christopher Guest films.
We had him on.
Best in Show, yeah.
Just recently, right?
Yeah, he was very, he talked about a lot of environmental things.
He did.
That's his lifestyle, and he had a lot of talk about composting and so on.
Mm. It was for Earth Day, I think he was
on,
right?
Yeah. Yeah, he had a story arc in 6 Feet Under. I'm talking about 6 Feet Under as if it just wrapped up.
Right, but you just watched it.
It wrapped up 15 years ago, but I just got done watching it. It's really, really good.
So he is 60, no, he's 71 today, actually.
Wow.
Dave the Snake Sabo. Played guitar for the band Skid Row.
Skid Row.
Celebrates his 56th birthday today. I always liked his playing. In this song, thank you for playing this, Case. I remember he was one of my favorite guitar solos of that era. He was just a shredder. He just ripped on it.
Did he ever say that he liked rocking and rolling and whatnot?
No, I don't think he was quite Warren level. Skid Row was a little less glammy, I think, than Warrant was. But anyhow, Dave the Snake Sabo is 56. It'd be great if you had a nickname like the Snake and it stuck, and every time your birthday came around, people still referred to you as Dave the Snake Sabo.
Well, that was Jim Antes's dad. Everybody called him Snake.
Snake?
Yeah. No
kid. Was his dad Snake Plissken?
No, he was not Snake Plissken. But, I mean, like, you just called him, like, if you, anybody in Southwest, they just knew him as Snake.
Well, that's cool.
Yeah. Molly Shannon, former SNL alum, along with Amy Poehler, celebrates her birthday today. She is 56. David Copperfield, the illusionist. Does he still operate in Vegas?
He still does. He still performs. I don't know if that's a sort of a permanent residency for him, if he takes the act on the road.
No, I don't. Yeah.
It's a big act.
Yeah, he's big visual illusions. Yeah, he's 64 today. Nick Jonas of the Jonas Brothers.
Ooh. I think he's my favorite.
He is 28.
Nick Jonas is your favorite?
Yeah, I think he's the one who's the lead singer for Sucker, right? I love that. I'm a sucker for that song.
All right.
Yeah, he's the one.
He's a good actor, too. He actually is.
He was in Midway.
He's in Midway. He's in the Jumanji movies.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
In Midway, he... Well, that's kind of a spoiler, but...
He dies.
His character arc is interesting.
Yeah.
He goes swimming at the end.
But he's the guy in Jumanji.
He grows...
Yeah. Been in the game
exactly.
for a long, long time. Yeah. I was not aware
that's
of
Nick
that.
Nick Jonas.
He's 28 today. Kenny Jones, former drummer of The Small Faces, The Faces, The Who, after... what's his face?
Keith Moon died.
Ringo.
You know, what's his face?
Did you just call Keith Moon once?
I did.
You forget sometimes. There's a lot of... He's an entertainment reporter.
I've been very forgetful this week. I've been having a hard time putting things together in my mind. Yes, the great Keith Moon. Kenny Jones replaced him. Kenny Jones, not a very exciting drummer, not explosive like Keith Moon was, but he did the job. I mean, you know, Eminence Front and
I saw him,
Tricky Day and some great songs that he played on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And the Faces were a great band, too.
I think, Preston, when he first joined The Who, I think that Shea Stadium show I saw with The Clash, I think it was one of the first tours The Who had gone out on after he joined.
That's awesome. Actress Alexis Bledel, who was on Gilmore Girls, I've watched her in The Handmaid's Tale.
Oh, she's really good, right?
Yeah, she plays a pretty. Her character has had a rough go of it, man. She is 39 years old today. She's great on
Sin City too.
Is she in Sin City? Oh yeah,
they colorize her eyes.
The young prostitute.
Yeah,
she's got the really super blue eyes, which she does have in person anyway.
Richard Marx, who has been here in the studio. Yes, that guy.
I love this guy.
Right and here waiting for you.
Wait a second.
What makes Richard? Yeah, we did, and he played for us.
He was excellent.
Yes, you don't remember?
Why do I not remember that?
What was so cool, Preston, you'll agree, he gets that he's Richard Marx.
Totally.
Totally.
He had tweeted something last year about, you know, just going to any dentist office in the United States if you want to hear some Richard Marx. But he is 57 today. And then another actor from Handmaid's Tale, a guy named Max Minghella. He was also in The Social Network and The Internship, and he plays a character called Nick in Handmaid's Tale, which is an important character. He is 35 years old today. He's got big Matt Rovine-type eyebrows.
Does he?
Yes, he does. Yes, he does.
It should be a song, Matt Rovine eyebrows.
Kind of like Betty Davis' eyes.
He's got Matt Rovine eyebrows.
Or Matt Rovine brows.
Yeah,
that was
sure.
Brows.
Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
Well, you're
we need to get him in to see Ashley Gallo.
A man.
Who?
She'd have retire. To clear her calendar.
Clear my month.
Wait, who you have to get who? Rovine?
Rovine, yeah.
He gets his eyebrows done.
No.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
His, otherwise,
they'd
be.
Yeah, his are all.
What landscaping like firm does he use?
No, it would be like, probably be like a unibrow. No, he gets them done.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, right. They're groomed.
Good but wouldn't he rather have Ashley Gallo do them for him?
Yeah. Right, maybe.
All right, let's see if we can find an answer to today's stupid question. Which literary character is often depicted wearing a top hat featuring a label that reads, in this style, 10/6th, 215-263-WMR, the number, and the caller we're going to go to is Kevin this morning. Hey, Kev.
Hey, what's going on, Preston?
Not much. Just looking for an answer. So what literary character are we talking about here?
The Mad Hatter.
Correct. One moment. And Kevin gets as a prize Carlo Pass from Four People to See Nate Bargatze at the Circle Drive-In Theater. That's in Scranton on Thursday, September 24th. Tickets are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. Let's get into some entertainment stories. On Tuesdays, or this past Tuesday, the Royals rolled out the red carpet for Prince Harry's 36th birthday, but many of his wife, Meghan Markle's fans, were a little bit upset, noting that none of the tributes included shots of Meghan, who's considered a divisive figure by many across the pond.
Did you see that they got him a royal bounce house?
Oh, that was sweet.
Yeah, it's like a bounce palace.
So one commenter wrote alongside a picture of Prince William, the shade of them using this pic rather than one including his wife.
Huh.
And
I did notice that, actually, now that you mentioned it. There were the pictures that I saw that were the official posts were him smiling and happy and without her.
But it's his,
birthday.
So
I can see that, right?
You want to singularly.
Sure. It was him on a pony and him.
You know? Is it just one picture or is it a series of pictures?
I saw two.
Okay.
Yeah, it's more than one, I believe. So another person had commented, there must have been hundreds of photos you could have picked, but you chose to post one of Harry, William, and Kate. I'm not sure. So if there was one with Harry, William, and Kate, that's a different story.
Yep.
It was also one that was pressed at sort of an anonymous D-pick.
Chris Evans.
Yeah.
Harry and Meghan surprised many when they stepped down from their senior royal duties in January, of course. And they are now going on with a $150 million deal at Netflix. So Dancing with the Stars, we talked about this yesterday. Carol Baskin, of course, is a contestant. There was a commercial that ran during the show. And it concerned her second husband, Don Lewis, who was missing. The commercial featured his daughters, Gail, Linda, and Donna, along with his former assistant, Anne McQueen, and the family attorney. And, of course, they were asking for information leading to, what happened to him, including information about Carol Baskin. It was a really interesting thing, very compelling that they ran it during that. Now, she has now commented on that.
All right.
Baskin told E.T., I have not seen the ad. I am not at all surprised. It's just been a huge publicity stunt on their part, so what more could they possibly do than that?
But they don't. They say if you believe or if you have information that suggests Carol Baskin, they don't overtly accuse her, but it's there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. She added of the hate and trolling that she gets on social media. She said, spending time worrying about what I'm doing is probably not a really good use of your time. I'm not worried about what people say because even when they're saying things that are negative, it's keeping the conversation out there about cats in the public eye. As long as I can keep that conversation out there, I can keep the cats in the spotlight, and that's my goal.
So isn't it so hard to keep juggling all these different stories? Weren't there questions as to whether or not her facility was mistreating the tigers as well, and that there were motions to get those animals taken away from her as well?
That I don't know.
Like, I don't know about the killing and all of that, but, like, the conditions that the animals were living in.
I thought I read something
but
like that.
But she owns the other one. She owns Joe Exotic's
They
now.
Gave her, yeah. They Joe Exotic was going out of his goddamn mind.
Yeah. I came her here.
At night in the prison.
Do we know where this commercial aired? I mean, it wasn't national, right?
I think it ran locally in Florida.
Okay.
So it didn't run here?
During a commercial break in local Florida markets.
To buy a national spot?
I didn't watch. Yeah. I didn't watch the whole thing, so I didn't see it. Only the next day just reports of it. So
I didn't see it either.
Yeah, it must have aired
and
just
I watched
locally.
Most of it.
It must have aired in Florida.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Which makes sense because if they believe that that disappearance took place there, then, you know,
going to air on Guam.
Maybe it's going to be somewhere around there that's going to know about it. Kristen Bell and Dax Shepard's daughters chose to support his sobriety in a variety of unique ways. Appearing on Tuesday's premiere podcast of Say Yes with Carla Hall, Bell reveals that Delta, who is 5, and Lincoln, who is 7, love the non-alcoholic beer that Shepard consumes to stay sober. She said, I'm going to get a lot of flack for this, and let me start by saying I don't care. She said, you're allowed to give me any advice you guys want. Any of these listeners, you're welcome to tell me I'm a terrible parent. I don't care. I'm a great parent, I think, and I'm learning every day. She said, my husband brought home a six-pack of O'Doul's last night, and my daughters often ask for O'Doul's, stressing that it has no booze, or sharing that her girls have been at restaurants and ordered the beers, explaining that it made them feel closer to their dad.
I mean, it has some, right? It's not...
Point something.
Yeah.
I don't know. 0.5. Does that seem right? Does that sound right?
I have no idea.
Probably less. I don't know. But there are...
0.5%?
We had some Guinness chocolates not that long ago.
How much in that?
Technically, nothing.
Yeah.
I mean, it's next to zero.
Okay.
You know, so
0.4%.
Yeah.
Okay.
So she had said it makes them feel close to their dad. Bell reveals that while she's cool with it, she's afraid that others may not feel as comfortable with their beverage choice during school.
Dax Shepard's been sober for, what, 14 years, I think?
A long time, yeah.
Long time, yeah.
She said they have 15-minute breaks where they are allowed to jump around and grab a snack and wiggle it out. And I walk in to check on them at 9:30, and both of them were drinking an O'Doul's on their Zooms. She said they're both just sipping their Doolies. And I'm like, what must these other parents and teachers think of me? So, yeah, they like O'Doul's. I don't know. I probably wouldn't get my kids used to the taste of beer.
Yeah, yeah, no.
Because it is an acquired taste, even if it's non-alcoholic. And, you know, I don't know.
I see your point. Let me ask you this. As far as regular beer drinkers, is there a marked difference when you taste an O'Doul's compared to a regular?
I've never tried it.
Does it get close to the source material?
Yeah, it gets pretty close.
Okay.
It's a very, very light beer. Just shy of 2 years, I quit drinking because of my migraines. I wanted to find out what my triggers were, so I quit drinking, and I stayed off, and so I started drinking non-alcoholic beer.
What'd you think?
It was okay. There were a couple of them that I did like.
Caliber? Was that the
Caliber
one?
Caliber was the one that I liked the most, and that was made by Guinness.
Okay.
And it's not like a stout. It was a different flavor, but it was pretty good. It was so funny. I went to a party one night. And it was a bring your own.
Right.
And so I brought my calibers and I put them in this community cooler.
Yeah.
And like, I came back later and like three of them had been drank. And I was like, oh you dumbass.
Don't you hate that? Don't you hate that?
Oh, yeah.
Like, if you go.
But
like,
I thought it was funny because they think they're getting their booze on.
I am so ripped on Caliber. It's like when I have people over to the house or we'll have a dinner party or something. And I specifically have food for vegetarians or. That food disappears. You know, there's like one or two. That means everyone's eating that stuff.
Yeah, so I had gone on a couple of vacations with my buddy Jeff. And, just down the shore. And this is like early on in my sobriety. And so I gravitated towards Monster Energy drinks.
Right.
And so when we shared the shore house, I had a case or whatever of Monster. I would drink like one a day. And then he was like, oh, can I have some? His wife yelled at him. He's like, dude, that's... his. Like, you have your entire refrigerator of beer, and you're essentially taking the only thing, his only vice. And I'm like, thank you, Melissa. Thank you. Because I didn't want to say that.
It's mine.
There's an episode of Cheers, and that's what Nick and I were smiling about earlier. There's an episode of Cheers where I guess they lose their liquor license for the
day.
They're
in danger of losing if they serve any alcohol.
So they serve nothing but non-alcoholic beer, and Cliff Clavin gets so... Is it Cliff, right?
Yeah, he pretends to get wasted.
I love you guys.
That's mostly great. It's about drinking a beer while other people are drinking a beer. It's just like the feeling of having a beer in your hand.
Yeah, it's a community thing. Yeah. Exactly. And it's like having like an oral fixation of some type, you know? So, yeah, you don't feel kind of left out. But anyhow, I don't know. There's no hurry to get your kids to used to the taste of beer, but, you know, whatever, man. But it's not alcohol, so there you go. Kim Kardashian announced yesterday that she is freezing her Facebook and Instagram accounts today.
Using liquid nitrogen. It's
in protest of how the company has handled hate speech and misinformation, and she asks her social media followers to do the same. Other celebrities following suit today as part of the Stop Hate for Profit campaign, which also led to a Facebook advertiser boycott earlier this year, include Katy Perry and Jennifer Lawrence, Leonardo DiCaprio, and Mark Ruffalo.
Please tell me that Hoppy Floppy is not participating.
No,
in this.
She is not. Okay. As a matter of fact, she's doing the opposite. She's going to post.
She's over flopping.
Yeah. did you guys see this documentary on Netflix called The Social Dilemma?
Yeah, I started watching it.
Somebody recommended that to me.
It's really, really interesting. And, you know, before you think it's, you know, anything that is has any sort of bipartisanism, it doesn't. It's just...
Or overly partisan. It is bipartisan is what you're saying.
It is bipartisan. Yeah. And thank you very much for correcting me on that. Yeah. It's not. It's just...
Before you think this is fair.
I think it's fair. Yeah, and I would prefer that, you know, somebody that maybe has a different political or social views that I do watch it as well. So,
and can see common ground.
Yeah. Because the people that they interview during this are people that created these things. Like the guy who created the like button on Facebook, he's like, I didn't realize what I was doing.
Yes. I saw a clip for this where a guy goes, I thought that this was just a force for good. And he just goes, boy, was I wrong.
Yeah.
They were talking to some of the architects behind the basic software of these social media programs. And not in this documentary, but I've seen other documentaries and other interviews where the basic tenor of what they're saying is, my God, what have I unleashed?
Yeah, my intention was this.
And I had,
you know, and if you're creating something, well, we're in entertainment news. I don't want to get too deep right now.
Right.
But if you're creating something, man, do you have to consider all of the potential options that something you make will unleash. You know what I mean? And it's hard probably to do that if your intention is just for this one thing, you know?
Here's a way to say I like this.
Yeah.
Well, you then not realizing that you send people into a deep depression if they don't get that.
Yeah.
And then so they eliminate the down button and a whole plethora of things occur.
Yeah. I would like to watch that case. But anyhow, she wrote, I can't sit by and stay silent while these platforms continue to allow the spreading of hate, propaganda, and misinformation created by groups to sow division and split America apart, only to take steps after people are killed. She charged that it undermines our democracy. So Facebook has been criticized, of course, for several of its policies, including allowing politicians to run ads with false claims. Although the company has recently announced some changes, including not allowing new political ads in the week before the November election and labeling posts by candidates if they try to prematurely declare victory, critics, including Stop Hate for Profit, say that they don't go far enough. Yes.
So Bonnie McFarlane is a stand-up comedian married to Rich Voss, and she's really, really funny. And she has this bit in her last stand-up special where she talks about how she's only been called the C-word in person like twice, but because of social media, she gets called it all the time. And
right.
I think that's a...
anonymity lends itself to the worst parts of people's personalities.
Yeah. So Wingfoot Country Club turned into Bushwood for a couple of mornings, at least while Michael O'Keefe, better known as Danny Noonan from Caddyshack fame, ended up carrying the bag of area club pro Danny Ballin during Monday and Tuesday's 9-hole U.S. Open practice rounds.
It was the practice round.
Yes, he said, I'm just here having a blast. He's now 65 years old on the 40th anniversary of the release of the epic flick. He said, I'm hoping the poison I gave his caddy Mark will kick in and they might have to put me on the bag Thursday and Friday. Wearing a red Bushwood Country Club hat.
Oh, that's great.
The original, he says, is probably in some bar in Davie, Florida. O'Keefe lapped up every moment, returning to where he actually caddied for two summers in 1971 and 72.
Let me ask you, with obviously you don't possess the knowledge that a really top-level caddy possesses, but if you were able to go with like a top-level player and caddy for them and see their game up close like that, would you do that?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Oh, in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
I'd do that.
Yeah, Kathy would, too.
Steve, you ever been to a golf tournament?
I have never been to
a golf tournament. They're really fun, and I had no idea how much fun they were until I went. And it's even if you're not a golf fan, if first of all, they're all beautiful courses.
Right.
You know, the best in the world. And then you're sitting there watching the best players in the world. You can sit at one hole and watch a whole, you know, cadre of guys come through. It's or women, you know, depending on the tournament. It's a fascinating thing to do, and it's always a good time.
Yeah, I was, and you are, it's shocking how close you can get to those superstars. Yeah. I mean, you know,
like,
I was...
Like Paige?
No, like real professional golfers. Like the Paige is wonderful. Obviously, he's talking about Paige Spiranek. But anyway, I remember I was at the BMW at Aronimink a couple of years ago, and I'm at the golf course, and my phone rings, and it's my buddy Steve, who's also a golf fanatic. He's like, what are you doing, man? I'm like... standing 6 feet from Zach Johnson right now. He's like, what are you talking about, man? I'm like, hang on. And he teed off, and I'm like, I just saw him hit, you know, like a 300-yard drive.
Wow.
So it's...
That's amazing.
It's really cool when you do that. So he... let's see here. He is... He got his last loop yesterday and handed the bag back to Mark Mandelblatt, who is Ballin's regular caddy, who walked alongside the two on Monday.
Mandelblatt wouldn't be as good a title as Bagger Vance.
O'Keefe, who grew up in Larchmont, explained that the idea started as sort of a lark, but then it got legs. Said I did a lot of interviews this year because the 40th anniversary of the release of the movie, and I knew the Open was going to be here. And he said, my brother Billy's a member here and a former president. I was thinking, wouldn't it be fun if somebody let me on their bag? And I thought the chances of that happening were about as likely as Carl Spackler winning the Masters. So he got to do it. That's pretty cool, man. Elle Fanning is sharing a look at her eczema flare-up in filter-free selfies on social media, showing her rosy eyelids. And she captioned it, eczema, but make it eyeshadow.
So you could hold a flamethrower on my face. And burn it off. She's got a flawless face. Any imperfection, like it's amazing. And I get that it's all about the way you perceive yourself. But I'm looking at this picture, and I'm like, Jesus Christ! She's gorgeous still.
She's so pretty.
Yes,
I love her. And the marvelous Mrs. Maisel star Rachel Brosnahan had related and commented, "I feel seen," she said. So I guess she has eczema as well. I don't know.
When she plays the princess in Maleficent, she's just stunning.
Yeah. So Chris Evans appeared on the Tamron Hall show Tuesday and addressed the leaked penis pics that went viral over the weekend. I think we have some audio of this, do we not?
We do.
Okay, right, hang on. I'm playing the Captain America theme.
Yeah.
My bad.
It's on the same...
going to Captain America subcategory, penis picks subcategory, Tamron Hall.
It's on the same unit that we use for the
You're good, man. You're
clips.
Good.
Thank you. I do what I can.
Was it sent over today
it was sent
or
over
yesterday?
This morning.
Okay,
yes.
It's not sent over yet.
Steve had it this morning. All right, anyhow...
there it is. We got it.
Okay, here we go.
What happened, Chris?
Something happened this weekend?
How you feeling?
It was an interesting weekend full of lessons learned, a lot of teachable moments. You know, things happen. It's embarrassing. You got to roll with the punches. I will say I have some pretty fantastic fans who really came to my support.
Yes, they did.
That was really, really nice.
He still hasn't indicated if it was his or not, has he?
Yeah.
Or is he suggested?
I think he's coyly, yeah.
How did she get this interview, by the way?
I don't know. I mean, they're putting the big push on this show. I know that. He's got one of the best beards I've ever seen.
Yep. It's well-groomed.
Yeah.
And he is a good-looking man.
He probably just strains and it grows back in.
He had previously took to Twitter joking, now that I have your attention, vote November 3rd. So
is that what that was about?
Yeah.
Showing his D?
Yeah. Well, it was just, now that he got the attention.
D for vote.
Mm-hmm. Jude Law has welcomed his first child with wife and his sixth overall. He told Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show, "It's really wonderful. We feel pretty blessed that we are in a time where we could, as a family, just nest and enjoy each other's company and every day as it came."
Who are the other five kids with?
I don't know.
Susan Boyle?
Welcomed his first child with wife and his sixth overall. That's what it says here. Exactly. So Law and Felipa Cohen got married in April of last year. So it's her first
Felipa
child.
Is the preferred name of Mindy Cohen.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Sean McEnroe shared a shot of himself hanging with his grandfather, Ryan O'Neill, and mom, Tatum O'Neill, and his siblings, Kevin and Emily. And it was, he shared, the first time that they've all reconnected in 17 years.
It was pretty wild. How did you think Ryan looked in the picture?
Okay.
A little wizened, right?
Yeah. He's, I mean, obviously.
Befitting his age.
He's very thin. But yeah, he's, how old is he now?
79, you said.
79? Okay. So he had said, this is one of the most memorable photos of my life. Last time we were all together was at the 30-year Paper Moon anniversary in 2003. I could cry tears of gratitude that everyone in this photo is still alive and that we were all able to come together again after so many years of hardship. The entire West Coast is burning, but if the O'Neills can reconcile, truly anything is possible. Yeah, they've had a
tumultuous life.
Big time.
And brawling, drug addiction.
I reminisced on Tatum for a little bit online yesterday because I used to have the biggest crush on her.
She was awesome.
So pretty.
You got to remember, she was, did she win the Oscar? An Oscar nominee for Paper Moon?
She won the Oscar.
She won the Oscar.
She was
the
youngest at the time.
Right.
To win. And then I think
for the Piani.
Anna Paquin won for the piano, the Piani. But yeah, she had a really bad drug problem, a heroin problem.
Yeah, so bad that the court awarded full custody of their children. The children she has with John McEnroe to John McEnroe.
Yeah. All right. Let's see. I think. Yeah, we can go ahead and get to the clips now. The Babysitter Killer Queen follows up the first film with an all-out bloodbath, where our main protagonist Cole fights against demonic enemies, both old and new. And in this clip, star Robbie Amell discusses the possibility of a third movie. Here we go.
I'll keep doing this movie as long as McG and Mary want me to. I have a lot of fun on set with them. It's always nice to come back and revisit this and goof around because it's such an outrageous movie. You just get a lot of freedom. I'd love to keep it going, but who knows?
I remember seeing the trailer for the first one, and I didn't watch the movie, but it looked interesting.
It does.
It's a really gorgeous babysitter and turns out to be not that, right?
Right, right.
Some kind of demonic thing. Anyhow, The Babysitter Killer Queen is available to watch on Netflix now. Here's the next clip. A loaded cast and dark premise make Netflix's The Devil at the Time one of the year's most anticipated movies to stream. And in this clip, director Antonio Campos explains how Robert Pattinson was chosen for the role.
The funny thing is that Rob wanted to play that character. I gave him the script. He was the first one that ever got a draft, a very early draft. He said, I want to play this guy. I think he just saw someone that he could sink his teeth into. And I think that the language of Tea Garden is something that an actor gets excited by, the way he speaks and what he says and the way he looks at the world.
Yeah! The Devil All the Time is available to watch on Netflix today, by the way. And that's it. That's the report.
Nice.
All set for your Wednesday morning. Let's take a break and come back in just a moment as we move this day forward as it only can go. Fox Good Day will check in. We have the super nanny, Joe Frost, joining us later on, too. We'll be right back.
The Preston and Steve Show podcast, 93.3 WMMR. Everything that rocks.
Earlier when we did the news break, I alluded to Kathy as Farmer Kathy.
Uh-huh.
And she had to get up early and tend the flock this morning. This is hilarious, okay? Hold on to your hats. Kathy is raising chickens.
Wait, what?
I thought you were going to go there, but I thought, no, there's no goddamn way.
Uh-huh.
Because I know that she gets into extra farm mode because we have the fall activities coming up.
Now,
what?
We're tipping the hand a little bit on
Kathy's. It's just a little bit.
Kathy's fall activities coming up, but you know that actually raising chickens with a chicken coop is all the rage these days. Several people in my area have them. There's no way I would do that.
It's huge. It's bizarre. And you know what, Preston? I know, like, you know Jenny DeHuff? You know, the So
she has like a lot of them.
She has a lot, yeah. And she's fallen in love with it. And it seems to provide people who have chickens with a sense of peace and zen.
We had talked to Jane Seymour. She had them. Was she love raising chickens?
Oh, yes.
Yeah. Yeah. G Love was raising
Cape
chickens.
Cod or Martha's Vineyard or whatever. Yeah.
Saucy Redhead, our cake, goddess. She has a whole bunch of chickens.
Well, you can take a step back because I'm not fully raising the chickens. What we're
doing. You're providing a college fund.
No, and listen, I'll get into more of this during the fall activities because I want to make sure that they get enough attention. But
and they live.
So I drove out to a farm yesterday. I actually drove through your area, kind of. It was out
my area. Okay.
Yeah, it was out past the. I think I drove through Quakertown to get to it.
Okay, sure.
But anyway, it's called Quiver Farm, and they're an educational farm. So they use all of their farm animals for educational programs within the schools. They can't do that now because schools are not open.
Right.
Everything
has
slowed down. So this is basically something that they're doing to be able to keep their farm open and keep it running.
So are you fostering chickens?
So that's pretty much what I'm doing is I'm assisting in the hatching process.
Okay.
So they sent us home with a dozen eggs and they're in an incubator. And in a week or a little over a week, they'll hatch. We'll keep them for a little while and then we'll return them to the farm.
That's pretty cool.
What if you get attached, though? Mm-hmm.
Oh, well, so the woman that the educator, her name was Corey. She was awesome. She listens to MMR. She was telling me that when she had hers, I guess, at her house, she cried when they were born. She's like, it is like an emotional experience.
Life.
Oh, yeah. Listen. Yeah.
Punch through a shell.
I have to tell you. I'm already attached to them.
Of course you are. Have you written little names on the eggs?
Yeah. Yes, Steve. That's what got this started.
There we go.
No. Show me a picture of eggs with names on them. Mind you, this is a woman who had a cat that was named the brown one for ages.
The black one.
And now she's actually naming.
So of course,
eggs.
Timmy, Sunday. Was it
Sunday?
Sunday. Barry, Josh, Mary.
You have names on every one of them.
So this is Jace named all of these and. So when I brought them back, though, let me tell you about the attachment because, you're used to picking up a normal egg in your refrigerator that you're going to cook. These eggs are like so much more dense. They're heavy. They're warm. There's life inside of this.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And so this morning before I left, I was so excited. I went downstairs and I opened the incubator and I have to turn them.
Yeah.
So I had to rotate each egg and I'm like so gentle with all of them. Last night Jace was like, "Can I hold one?" I was like, I don't know. It would just put your hand out. Don't move. Yeah. And he was like, "I'm not going to break it.
Yeah. Sit on all of these pillows."
And we're going to put the eggs underneath you.
But I mean, I was amazed. I didn't quite understand that it would feel that different than a normal egg, and it sure does.
I think you would get tired of it after cleaning the chicken coop one time. My neighbors, they were my friends growing up. They all got the Easter Bunny brought them all a chicken for Easter one year. So there was five chickens down there. We were all kids. We played with them. They had a great chicken coop. They fed them eggs for, ever and ever and ever. But man, was
terrible. Listen, my best friend lives on a farm. I know all about it, which is why I'm doing this.
You're prepared.
We're taking them back.
However, if you were, now I know people who actually, Case, had that fear and have been able to maintain... mitigating the smell and they're on it. They actively get involved and it becomes like Jane Seymour. With Jane Seymour had something like, what, she's got like 60 chickens?
Yeah,
an incredible amount. And she was giving eggs to local food shelters.
Yeah.
But there is a tangible difference. I don't know if it's psychosomatic, if that's the relative term. But eggs this way, people say, taste markedly better.
So we have neighbors that have chickens and they bring us
do you notice that?
Fresh eggs. No, I wouldn't necessarily. Well, they taste a little bit different. They're different when you crack them open. They're different in color. The yolk, as I say, yolk.
Yeah.
The yolk is darker. It gives a little bit more rich flavor to the egg. But they're good.
They're really good.
But you wouldn't sit there and go, wow.
Holy hell.
They're really different. But Kathy, do you think that you will look at eating eggs differently after this?
Well, no, because I didn't know this, and I may be stupid for not knowing this, but the difference between a fertilized egg and the eggs that we eat, I didn't realize there was such a difference. So the chicken lays the egg, and there's, it's just not...
So it's not a cup of dead baby.
Right. Like, yeah. It's not like it would have been a baby and then I ate it. It just wasn't fertilized. So, no, I think I'll be okay with that. However, they do say that, so this process, it's very fragile. There's a booklet that came with it. I read it from cover to cover yesterday to make sure I was doing all of this properly. But, there's little things that can happen in the incubator and during the hatching process that will affect the chicks. So, like, I have to make sure that their little feet don't get caught in certain things, and if they some of them might have deformities, and you have to give them a little bit extra time in the incubator. Like,
this is a classic element. We did this in elementary school. You do the classic egg in the incubator thing, and you wait for the eggs to hatch, and it's one of the first things you learn about in biology, and the first practical experiment I remember was that.
We didn't do it in one of my classes, but I know that there were classes that had that at school. They had incubators, and they would wait for these chickens or birds to
like in fourth grade, and then in fifth grade they brought in a man and a woman, and they made love in front of us.
No, this is
nature. And then we kept the woman in an aquarium,
right. Hey, Kathy, do you still have cats in the house?
I do, yes. So these,
what do you do?
So this has been going on. This farm started this back in March. So the temperatures have cooled a bit, and I actually have them set up on a table in my garage.
The cats?
No. The chicks. So they're okay in the garage as long as it stays between 60 and 70 degrees in the garage. Okay.
I would like to do that. I think it'd be cool. We have dogs, and my dogs will eat anything that moves.
Your dogs would eat the farmers.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So there's a Facebook page that they suggest that you go on to if you do this. And there are a lot of people in the area that have done it and post on this Facebook page and post their experiences. I just got an alert that somebody posted a picture. So, Press, they do chicks and they do baby ducks as well.
Ducks. But
there's a picture of all these ducks sitting around their dog in their living room.
Let me ask you, do you think... I'm so glad, Preston.
What's cuter, baby ducks or baby chickens?
Baby ducks are so cute.
Baby ducks are cute.
So damn but you know adorable. What? You know, the funny thing is that people, like you talk to Sarah, the saucy redhead, she says that we have the perception of them as these antiseptic, you know, cold creatures that don't. But she says they really do bond with you, and she'll go
They have personalities.
They have personalities. Yeah. And she said on that level, Preston, you talk about being reticent to eat eggs after this. That has really dissuaded her from chicken.
My friend Denise from college, she has a duck farm, and I didn't realize this until a couple of years ago, but like she straight up raises ducks, and I was like, well, what do you do with them? She's like, well, I eat them.
Oh, my God.
Oh, really?
Oh,
my God.
Yes.
See, that'd be hard.
Well, you can't name them. You can't name them and then eat them. You
the
can't
eggs
do
are already named, for Christ's sake. She's a goner.
Well, apparently the ducks are a little bit more difficult than the chicks, which is why we started with the chick eggs.
Do you think you might go all the way up to horses?
I don't know. Well, listen, my friend who lives on a farm that I mentioned earlier, she said the first thing about like raising farm animals is don't ever name them because that's the first step to getting attached to them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of times they are going off to become food.
So ducks are hard. The eggs are harder, more difficult. There's more labor involved or more.
Yes,
I think because you have a water element, right? Because obviously you have to. Right. Or am I overstating that?
The eggs hatching, or are you talking about raising the animal?
I think, no. I'm talking about this process in them bringing them home, the incubation, in hatching. I've heard that they're a little bit more difficult, and I think they're a little messier.
Yeah. Okay.
Does Jason Fayon have chickens?
I don't remember.
I do not know. He's a farmer type. Let me go to Jen real quick. Jen, good morning. Jen, turn your radio down, please. All right, Jen. Sorry, we're going to have to let you go. Remember to turn your radio down if you do call in. There's a delay. I'm going to go to Jeff. Hey, Jeff, you're on the air. Good morning.
Hey, guys. How you doing?
Good morning. Good morning. What's up, buddy?
Hey, real quick, just want to let you know, I've been listening to you guys since I was a sophomore in high school. I'm now almost 40 years old.
Dear God! Dear God!
You are the best.
Thanks,
man. Every morning, right. Hey, so anyway, same story. So I'm in first grade, and in the classroom, you know, we incubate the chicken. So, of course, I'm one of the ones that gets mom to sign the slip saying once they hatch, you can bring one home.
Right.
So of course, in first grade, thought that was the coolest thing ever. The damn thing ended up living until I was 25 years old.
See, that would happen. And that is that's the liability that we're talking about, Jeff. And I think, Kathy, you know, once you start to hatch, if you're already falling in love with just the eggs,
you may
end up with a chicken or two.
Well, and somebody posted on that Facebook page, and she was like, my kids were crying when we dropped them back off.
Yeah.
And like,
Jeff, what was your chicken's name?
Well, right in line with some of Kathy's names, its name was Brownie.
Brownie.
Oh, love it.
Okay. Named after it was born or while it was still an egg?
Great question. After it was born.
Okay.
After it was born.
So, right. So, to clarify what you're saying, Kathy, so the eggs that we get normally from the supermarket are not eggs that would have, in the normal trajectory, hatched into chickens.
Correct. She said if you see a chicken in a pen and there is no male in there with her, those eggs are not fertilized and they will not become chicks.
All right. Probably the earliest memory that I have as a human being, we had a baby duck. And his name was Quack Quack, which is a typical, you know, a baby. Yeah, yeah. You know, I think my sister gave the duck that name, but that is my earliest memory.
Did you adore it?
Oh my God, yes.
A duck.
Don't know whatever happened to it because it never grew up. I only knew it as Quack Quack, the baby duck. And
I think he lived on a farm after he
probably did. Right?
Ran around with other dogs.
Yeah. My neighbors had
a dinner
duck
one night. We had poultry.
These nuggets are great.
Yeah. Was it a white duck?
These nuggets are a little gamey. What are they?
No, it was yellowish with some spots on it. So that's that. As far as my memory serves,
my neighbors had one duck. His name was Sam, and then something killed it. Of course, my cat got blamed for it, but he had an alibi.
But you had a good lawyer.
But you know, and then my neighbors who had the chickens down the street, dude, the raccoons, like. Raccoons,
yeah,
those things just picked them apart one by one.
Or foxes,
yeah,
yeah. I mean,
it might have been the foxes.
Well, every cartoon you've ever seen, but you, for example, my neighbor has an elevated chicken coop that you know that I guess protects against that.
Right. Not to sidetrack for a moment because I'm going to go to these calls here, but my dad has a small garden in his backyard, and there had been raccoons coming out there, so he set up this humane trap. He would catch the raccoons, take them off somewhere else, and let them go. The other day, caught a skunk.
Whoa!
And then he goes, I don't know what the hell to do.
Right.
It's in this trap. I can't get near it. What do I do? So he called his cousin who is raises horses, lives out on a farm.
Has a gun.
So what he said you have to do is he said you got to take an old blanket. And you have to go out there with the blanket and you throw it over the cage.
And then set the blanket on fire.
Set the blanket on fire. No, my dad, thankfully, has a truck. And then you put it in the back of the truck. And he's like, well, then what do I do with it there? I got to, you know.
Do you have someone you don't like?
I still have to get it out of the cage. He said, just bring it to me. We'll take care of it.
There are services. There are humane services that will come. You know, also, like, in this area, if you happen, and you're not in this area.
No, this is in Kentucky. You do it yourself. But anyhow, so they went out there with a blanket, and sure enough, it sprayed.
Oh, boy.
It got all over the blanket and covered it up, took it in the truck. And said that within just a couple of days, the smell went away and everything, so it didn't, you know,
permeate
too long.
People are kind of cute. Yeah.
Somebody brought in, remember the girl who brought in the skunk? They are... If they've been properly, did she say that the spray gland had been removed on that?
Yeah.
Replaying with fire, yeah.
We chased a skunk in college thinking that was a cat. We chased a skunk. We're like, oh, look at a cat.
Right. It's like a Looney Tunes cartoon.
Yeah, it's straight out of a movie.
Yeah, she walks under the black cat walks under the painted white fence, and she gets the strip down her back.
We thought it was a cat. We were by the International House. It came out. We were drinking. Look at the cat. And we follow the cat, and then we realize that somebody's like, it's a skunk! And we all just took off. It was great.
It's like that commercial for Pearl Vision or whatever, where the woman's letting the raccoon into the house.
Yeah.
I'm going to go to Jen, who I think we tried to have on a little while ago. Jen, good morning.
I went to her sinus, and that's devastating that I couldn't get through because I'm trying to figure out my car audio.
Hey, Jen!
While I'm driving. You see... so I was a kindergarten teacher and we used to raise chickens and it was a Quaker school. So every day I would get in early. It was so cute. We had them since they were eggs. We named them all. I would come in early every morning. And one morning I came in and Lucky didn't make it. So I had to come in. Kids came in.
Oh,
Lucky had a little bit. Yeah. So we had to have an explanation, but they were great. We had a meeting for worship about it, but they were chickens and they had been alive for like 3 days. But the kids, they were like, I remember one morning when I saw Lucky, and he just looked so happy. I felt the same way about Lucky, and I was like, this is devastating.
Yeah.
Of course it is. Those are the early life lessons about life and about the end of life.
Yeah. Hey, Jen, I got a question for you because, you know, we all recall having chickens hatch in our classrooms. What do you do with them after they hatch?
You keep them we kept them for several weeks, and they get pretty tall and pretty big, and they do stink.
And then what?
Bring them down to the cafeteria.
And then you have chicken fingers.
Yeah, this is our local farm.
Okay, yeah, so, local farms.
So,
all right.
So, like this program that I'm doing, they go back to the farm and they don't euthanize them. They get sent out to different farms.
Right.
And farmers will come and pick them up at this educational farm.
Well, that's nice.
I'm going to go to Kathy because she lived on a farm all her life, and the public apparently knows nothing about chickens. So let me go to her. Kathy, you're on the air. Good morning.
Good morning.
Hey, what's up, Kath?
Lived on a farm my whole life. Still live on a farm. I still hatch all my own eggs, my own chickens, guineas, peacocks, ducks. And it's amazing to me. People don't realize that roosters do not lay eggs.
Right. Right.
You need a rooster to have a chick. Yep. They don't know that.
Yep.
You just sit there with your mouth open. They don't realize that a tiny little chick can't lay an egg. It has to be a hen. They don't know what a hen is. You can't imagine the conversations that people... It's amazing to me.
Well, we live in a supermarket world, so we don't... That part of our education is, you know, woefully lacking.
Well, I will say, I felt dumb when I said, well, so what are the eggs that we get from the grocery store?
Right. You didn't know.
When she explained it, I was like, well, duh, you idiot. But, like, I never knew.
When do they become sharks?
Yeah. Hey, Kath, I got a couple of questions for you. When the rooster fertilizes, first of all, what's the ratio of hens to roosters being born?
That's another thing. You have to have at a minimum 4 or 5 hens per rooster. You have to.
Okay.
Or he'll beat everybody up. He'll beat everybody up anyway. But
right.
So roosters are very aggressive.
Pardon me?
Roosters are very aggressive.
They're not aggressive. They can't.
Horny.
I mean, most of our roosters are not nasty to people, but they're nasty to each other because they want as many women as they can possibly
have. Right,
right. And
they're like NBA players.
at what age do you realize a chicken is a rooster or a hen?
Maybe 2 months or so. You'll start to see it's called their crown on top of their head, and you'll start to see that they both develop differently, and his will start to get bigger and bigger than hers. And you can figure out pretty quickly that he's a boy and she's a girl. Plus, they get aggressive to each other at like 6 or 8 weeks.
Wow.
So
okay.
Yeah. So they know.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
And so they need to have a harem though, right?
They need to have
a harem.
A harem.
A harem. Yeah.
Okay.
Okay.
Wow. I mean,
that's why they call them cocks, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Interesting.
To come back as a rooster. Yeah.
Thank you, Kathy. Appreciate it. All right, let's go to ducks for a minute. I'm going to go to Justin, who has some ducks. Hi, Justin, you're on the air.
How's it going, Gadzooks?
Gadzooks, what's up, bud?
So, friends of mine and myself, they have chickens and ducks, and I've noticed that ducks are easier to take care of. All you need is a simple Rubbermaid tote, a heat lamp, and a couple other accessories. You follow them on YouTube. My ducks and my dog get along great. I got 3 of them. I just wanted to share the names of my ducks.
Please.
I named them Harold Kumar and Duck Norris.
Duck Norris.
Duck Norris. Let me ask you, Justin, do you have like a pond on your property, or what do you do for them for their natural yearning to be in water?
Well, yeah, so you just buy those simple little plastic blue pools or like little, and, you know, they're small enough and they get light enough. You don't fill them to the brim and you can just dump them out. You clean up, you know, their number 2 and go about your business. But,
thank you for your call, Justin. I was going for a run a few months ago in my neighborhood and I'm running by the house and I'd see these, what I thought were duck sculptures or some type of thing out in the front yard. I'm like, wow, those things look real. They weren't moving at all. And as I was running by, I'm like, well, now they're moving. Those things are real. They had 3 of them on their front yard, unattended. They did. There was a blue plastic pool, like he said, out front.
So was for them.
Small like kid, you know, a kiddie pool. And I guess they got pet ducks.
I would love
them. I don't know.
I got the pool because they can go into the water. They said about
the chicks?
24 hours after they're born.
Wow.
Yeah, they have to stay. They actually stay in the incubator until they're fully dried. You can't take them out until like they're fluffy and you can start to see.
Well, the birth goes off.
Water? They go in water?
Yeah.
Chickens?
Yeah.
Hmm. Okay.
Do they go hiking?
I don't think so.
Yeah,
that's interesting. Let me see. A bunch of calls on this. I'm going to go to Danny. Hi, Danny. Good morning.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. What's up, my man?
So we got our first batch of chickens when I was probably in like seventh grade. And what ended up happening was a fox got in there. Ugh. And I think we had about seven of them, but it killed five. So two of the hens remain. So when we got a new batch of chicken, I always like to imagine like the remaining hens were like, you youngins don't know what I've seen. Like old yeah. war veterans with like PTSD.
It was hell.
But the new batch we got, one of them was a rooster, and we found out pretty quick, and it was real loud, and it was kind of, you know, aggressive towards the other one. So my brother was like, well, you know, I got to kill it. So he ended up killing it, and we ate the meat. It was really good.
Okay.
So the next day I'm playing basketball, and I smell something. I'm like, what is that smell? And I look over in our trash can. He just, like, crudely put all the remains and, like, the feathers and the beak. I was like, you smelled it out a little bit better.
Yeah.
Hey, I have a question for you, Danny. As far as slaughtering and eating your own chicken, because the ones you get at the grocery store, they fatten them up. They're bred.
They're glorious.
For consumption.
Yeah. They're gorgeous.
And they're usually only just a few months old. But they fatten them up real quick. It's part of the process of doing that.
Big fat chickens.
I guess unless they're like free range or something.
Yeah.
I don't really know the story behind that. But was it a bit skinny? Was there not much meat on it? Was there a lot of meat on this rooster that you killed?
He got a pretty good amount of meat. It was a lot more tender, what I noticed, what it was.
Is okay. that right?
Yeah, it was still like younger and leaner, just off chicken feet. I know what you mean, the way they fatten them up to where they can't even move. Mm-hmm. That's when they taste the best, honestly. But like, this was real tender. It was good. I was like, man, you probably should have found a better way to dispose
of it. Yeah, big fettle chicken ass.
Thanks, Danny.
Oh, I had a question for you.
Oh, go ahead. Regular Saturday night thing.
Danny, real quick, how do you protect your chickens from foxes and whatnot?
Well, at this point, again, we're down to like two. And this is from the second batch, and one of them doesn't even have a beak. It's really hard. But basically, the way that my
oh, my God.
Dude.
Put the reverb on and do that, please.
What is that? It's my beakless rooster.
You are twisted.
You wake up in the morning.
Get the pastoral music.
Good morning music.
Yeah.
Yeah, if we could, please. So, because I want to hear, you're on a farm, you're a bed and breakfast out on the countryside. It's beautiful. No, wait, that's Harry Potter. Hang on a second.
No, that's not. That's Days of Future Past. Not Days of Future Past. Dude.
You wake up, the sun is coming, and then you hear that majestic sound. Oh my God! Oh, so how did your chicken end up without a beak?
Well, I guess a fox got in there and just, you know, messed him up again, but it ripped the beak right off.
Oh, that's terrible!
And you know something? I mean, honestly, the fox is doing simply what the fox does. But I mean, if you can. To anyone who is raising and thinking about raising chickens like this, that's something you want to explore to keep them protected.
Yeah.
Just a quick bit of advice here, Danny. If someone's just starting and like in a residential area and wants to raise chickens, what's a good number of chickens to sort of start with?
I'd say like five.
Five.
That's a good number.
All right.
And what he tries to do is that he digs the gate that the chickens are in. You dig it below the ground to prevent them from burrowing under, but...
By the way, real quick, I hope that if Nick Murphy makes a Daily Rush video out of this, and it would be a tall order, but an animated beakless rooster to go along with Steve doing the cooking. That's just... Okay. All right. Are we done with Danny? Or
yes,
any other questions for Danny?
Yes.
All right, Danny.
Well, I forget how he said he protected the chickens.
Oh, how do you protect the chickens, Danny?
Oh, like I said, yeah. You dig the gate down below the ground so they can't burrow in.
Okay.
And you leave a clock in the hen house.
Yeah.
Right, here's how you use it. You got to slide the rack back.
Thanks, Eddie. That's what I was wondering about the ducks in my neighborhood, because there are foxes all over the place. So you see them and hear them regularly, and that's open season, I would think.
Well, in our area, I've seen a coyote twice. The size of a almost the equal size of my 55 pound dog.
Mm.
So if you're keeping stuff like that, but my neighbor, as I said before, does have an elevated chicken coop that's clearly designed to foil these things, and he seems to do well with them.
By the way, if you're just tuning in, the reason we're talking about this is Kathy's raising chickens. She has the eggs in an incubator. They're all named. They have their names written on them. Yep. One of them, what was the funny name of one of them? Like Angel something or the other?
By the way, as you pointed out, Preston, she had a cat and never gave it a name. These eggs have names.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Listen, I think that was like my family. That's how I was raised. I'm a little different.
Okay.
So I'll go through the names real quick.
Then we got a break.
Alice, Angel, Bendy, Tom, Jorge, Bendy. Mary, Josh, Lucy, Sunflower, Cream, Jerry Berry, Sunday, and Timmy.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Now, Timmy, we noticed on his on the egg, there is like a slight crack, so we don't know what that means, but...
That's what it means.
Well, last night, she said, he goes, I hope Timmy makes it through the night.
Well.
Before we get to break real quick, the sunrise is incredible. All the haze from out west and the fires has gotten here, and so a lot of people were texting in. The sunset last night was amazing. If you haven't had a chance, look at the sunrise right now.
Yeah, I wanted to touch on that in a little bit. We're going to take a break and come back in a second, and we're going to go live on Fox Good Day, so make sure you stay with us.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Waiting for our friends from Fox 29 to check in, and that'll be in about 5 seconds or so. Mm-hmm. So we'll hear some music, and we'll see what's going on with Mike and Alex. And there it is.
Hey, Preston and Steve, we found this list of the worst places to flirt.
Oh.
Are you ready?
We were just talking about flirting yesterday. Yeah, go ahead.
Oh, we did a whole thing on flirting yesterday.
Yeah, we did a whole tutorial.
I'll bet you did.
We saw your flirting game, Alex. It's quite substantial.
Oh, really?
Yes, your mask flirt is perfect.
Oh, thank you.
It's all about
I'm
her
working
eyes.
On it.
Well, I'll just go through them real fast, and then you give me yours. Workplace. If you're on a date with somebody else, you shouldn't be flirting with somebody across the table. Whatever.
Your wife's wake.
Conference.
Yeah.
Therapy session. I've done that. I've flirted with my therapist.
Have you? That's a big no-no.
Well, I know, but it's so sexy.
Was she still your therapist after this? Or?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, okay.
In line at a bathroom. I think we've all done that. Job interviews, funerals, you know, at the
funerals,
gym. People
is
get
that
annoyed.
Okay?
But here's number one. Hospital waiting room is an inappropriate place to do that.
You don't know who's there for gonorrhea treatment and stuff like that. Yeah.
Oh, my goodness.
Right?
Oh, my God.
I mean, you don't want to have to say, hey, I like you, but what are you here for?
But if you have gonorrhea,
then it's fine.
You might
absolutely
be the perfect person.
Guess what I have?
Yeah.
It's so the icebreaker. You do?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah? Well, look at the boil on my butt.
Look at that.
Oh, my God.
Top that. Yeah.
How about this, though? How about in, like, rehab or, you know. Well,
they
like
say never do
allowed,
that.
Yeah.
Yeah. Isn't that not allowed?
It's like flirting with your therapist, Mike. You don't do that. I don't think you start flirting at an HR seminar on office misconduct.
Yep.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I do have to admit, and this happened at Lackinac emergency room. I was there visiting a friend who had had an accident, and she was fine.
Okay.
She was fine. And a Philadelphia police officer came in with somebody in handcuffs, but I think the person had been, I don't know, injured somehow, but needed to be arrested. And so there's a very attractive police officer. So we went out for a while.
You asked her out while she had someone in handcuffs?
I asked if I could have her number.
What?
I'm proud of you.
You're a dog.
That's awesome.
You're a dog.
Yeah, that's pretty ballsy.
That's pretty
well done.
Yeah.
Fine.
Yeah. Yeah, but he's still sitting there looking at you in handcuffs.
Well, I wasn't looking at him. He was flat on a gurney.
Were you leaning on him, on his body on the gurney?
Yeah.
So let me in. Yeah.
Over the guy's body.
You like Italian food?
The guy was fine.
Sure.
Did you like take her aside, or did you just ask in front of everyone?
No, it wasn't over his body. He was fine. He wasn't
He was alive and he was talking and everything else.
He was alive. Hey, when you're done hitting on her, can you process me?
That he's alive, Mike. That's...
Yeah, that's good.
Now they took him back into the emergency room, and then she came out. Sure. And I was in the waiting room. And right. So on her way to the squad car.
Let me ask you, Alex, anyway, how many times does Mike hit on the director of the show you're currently on right now?
It's more like the guests.
Oh, the guests. Okay. So,
by the way, a love story with the line on the way to the squad car.
Right. Yeah.
It's pretty classic, well, man.
And then the defibrillator came out.
If they were to get married, you could just put the cans in the back of the police car. Yeah. Right?
Yeah. So it's beautiful. Just incarcerated.
We're off topic.
Yes, we are.
It's topping season.
But that's because of your depraved life.
Well, that's true. Yeah. Preston, what's the most inappropriate place you've ever flirted? Anything come to mind?
Man, that is a good question. I want to say that maybe at a funeral. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But I try to keep my surroundings in mind.
Because it just looks too creepy if you pick the wrong spot. But none of the spots that you mentioned, though, seemed like okay, you know, on some level. But I married a coworker, so I was flirting at work. Yeah. Yeah.
Now I've definitely done that. I've definitely messed
office
around,
romance?
Dipped in the company ink.
Yes,
as they say.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Interesting. Yeah. Did you have to go to HR, like report it to your supervisor?
This is before HR. Yes. This is when there was actually a department that encouraged you to date your coworkers.
Right. Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
It was called the go-for-it department.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It was pretty wild back in the day. Yeah. The television.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah. I've seen Mad Men.
Oh, have you? Yeah, drinking scotch, smoking on the air.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Hitting on cops.
Okay.
You know, if you do that with firefighters, I like to see that as they're climbing up the ladder to a burning building. Hey!
Are you busy?
Boy, look at that.
You are hot!
It's a play on words because the building's on fire.
Call me.
See you guys.
Thanks, guys.
We'll see you later. Wow.
He brought that on himself.
Therapist, police officer with a perp at the hospital.
Oh my God.
Mike wins.
Yeah,
Mike wins.
He
really didn't even need to ask you at that point.
He had more.
I think he was trying to
deflect
you. Yeah.
All right. I wonder if he's ever hit it like a nuns during a mass.
I'm sure.
You're a hard habit to break. You get it, sister?
Oh, God. Hey, real quick, before we do the Czar File, I missed this yesterday. A diehard fan of the Preston and Steve show sent me this email and wanted a shout out in celebration of his 30th wedding anniversary. Oh. It was yesterday. Is our friend Bob Havens.
Hey. Oh, yeah.
Regular at the Cardboard Classic. Comes on to all kinds of events. And he wanted a shout out to Susan Havens. He said, we always found a way to make each other smile that helped to get us here. She stood by my side always and even let me build our sleds in the dining room. Love you, Suze. And he says, thanks, Preston. And then he wrote, he sent me pictures of their wedding day. And so while they were feeding each other cake, her brother came up behind her and smashed her face into the cake. And he says, I still get blamed for this. I had no clue her brother was going to do it. And she was mad. And so here's a picture of them.
Oh, I did see. God. Yes.
Yeah, so to our buddy Bob and Susan, congratulations and happy anniversary. We'll start out for you guys. All right, let's do the Bizarre File.
Now, Bizarre. WMMR presents Bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, let's get to these stories. We're going to start with this act of vandalism, man. It's pretty intense, too. The cable of the Sea to Sky gondola, which is near Squamish, British Columbia, has been deliberately cut in the middle of the night for the second year in a row. This thing's huge, by the way.
So you'd have to use, like, a blowtorch.
I don't know. Yes, something. It left the tourist attraction in shambles, and his staff completely bewildered. The thick downhill cable of the gondola was severed overnight, sending dozens of cars crashing into the mountain. Manager Kirby Brown said his phone started ringing off the hook with the news before dawn. He said, this event mirrors last year's event in a very eerie fashion. We're all stunned and shocked. This is somebody sabotaging our business. Depending on where the line snapped, the metal cabins could have fallen up to 300 meters before slamming into the mountainside. That
so,
is way up there, man.
Is there, in fact, a rival business that they're investigating? Or
if so, it isn't indicated all in right. this story. Brown said crews haven't been able to fully assess the damage because smoke from the U.S. wildfires means that helicopters can't fly into the area. Only six of the 39 cars were safely in the stations at either end of the gondola overnight, but the rest are destroyed.
I think if you had it done once, you'd have some sort of security camera system set up, wouldn't you?
They did. The company beefed up its surveillance system after the 2019 incident, adding more cameras along the line and an automatic motion detection security system.
Still
that
nothing.
Is monitored 24/7 by a third party.
Wow.
Said the person who cut the cable Sunday triggered the automatic alarm system around 4 a.m. The Royal Canadian Mounted Police were instantly called. The line is made of six steel cables that are intertwined, pulled tight enough to support the weight of the 2-kilometer-long gondola. That's how long the line is.
Yeah.
Officials have said the snapping cable could easily kill somebody if it hit a person. No one was hurt as a result of the vandalism.
How many gondolas came down, did you say?
There was like 39 of them, I think.
Jesus.
Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
Yeah, it can ruin the business. Police have not announced any arrest in either case. Wow. A Massachusetts man who was taking a nap near his pool was startled awake by an unusual alarm clock. It was a bear.
Whoa.
There's video of it.
It's hilarious and scary at the same time.
Bette shared the video of the moment. It was caught on the family's Ring camera. She said, Matt was a little startled yesterday while taking a rest by the pool. She wrote, adding a bear emoji online. Bette, her husband, said her husband was sleeping by their pool when the bear wandered into the area through an open gate. In the video, the bear can be seen ambling up to her husband's foot and giving it a little nudge. I thought he was licking his foot or
so
something.
So did I, yeah.
But he was nudged his foot with his paw. Hey. It woke the guy up. Thankfully, he didn't, like, freak out.
No, but the bear did.
Yes, the bear got startled and then ran away. But he said, his wife said he wasn't sure how he should react, but he knew he couldn't get up that fast. And she said at least he had another chair and table between them if needed. Luckily, it went running out soon after the encounter. That is hilarious.
So cute, though.
Yeah. They are, Casey. It's the constant conundrum. They could rip you to shreds, but they're adorable.
Let's see. Here's another story of a Ring camera. After a sheriff's office helicopter pilot in flight was alerted by his home's Ring camera about suspects breaking into cars in his neighborhood, he led deputies right to them in his helicopter. Three juveniles, 14, 15, and 16, fled from deputies and ran after the tires of their escape vehicle were flattened after they were caught shortly, and they were caught shortly after. The juveniles are also suspects in a series of car break-ins. The sheriff's office helicopter pilot was in the air around 2 a.m. on Sunday.
Oh, man.
When he got an alert from his Ring camera. The video showed two suspects checking handles on vehicles while an SUV followed them through the neighborhood. The pilot notified deputies and then located the suspect vehicle from the sky. And when deputies attempted a traffic stop, the vehicle fled. After deputies successfully deployed stop sticks, flattening the vehicle's tires, it slowed down. Suspects jumped out while it was still rolling. The three juveniles were caught. Deputies learned that the gray Acura RDX, the getaway vehicle, was reported stolen. Inside the vehicles, deputies found several wallets, a ski mask, and a window breaching tool as well.
So on my Xfinity security system, and I have it facing off to the side of the road, Preston, I think I showed you guys some footage of guys pulling up, parking on our road, getting out, and they just walk along and they try every car door.
Yeah.
Because people still leave their car doors unlocked.
Yep. Yep. In my neighborhood, they throw cheese at your car.
Cheese at your car.
A 20-year-old Florida amusement park worker plummeted to his death Monday while performing a routine safety check on what's billed as the world's largest swing ride.
Oh, man.
Jacob David Kaminsky was about halfway up the 450-foot Star Flyer ride at Icon Park in Orlando, and he fell to the bottom platform. It's horrible.
What was it, like just a ladder apparatus? Or?
I don't know what he was on, Steve, but I assume he had something that you can climb up that thing with. So he was rushed to the hospital and was pronounced dead. They closed the ride, obviously. All right, one more story. It involves a theme park as well, but not as bad. Due to the coronavirus pandemic, theme parks across the world are rethinking how they're doing Halloween this year. The Lagunasia theme park in Japan has created a unique Halloween experience this year and has installed a haunted toilet.
Haunted toilets.
Yes. The attraction is part of the park's Corona Horror Fest 2020 and features several socially distanced attractions. The Haunted Toilet is based on the story of Hanako-san, a Japanese folk legend about the ghost of a dead girl who haunted bathrooms, usually in schools.
Isn't there a ghost in the Harry Potter?
Yes,
lives in the bathroom.
Moaning Myrtle.
What is it?
Moaning Myrtle.
Moaning Myrtle.
Mm-hmm.
Guests will enter the bathroom one at a time, and the bathroom will be cleaned and disinfected between guests. So I don't know what all happens in the haunted toilet, but
the poop comes up.
I guess so. And there you go. That's what I have in the Bizarre File for you right now. All right, let's take a break. Don't forget, we're going to have the Super Nanny on in about an hour from now. That is Joe Frost. She'll be joining us in a little bit. We'll be back in a sec. Stay put.
Love Preston and Steve and WMMR? Check out WMMR.com for more of everything that rocks.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors. Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
Real quick, a couple of shout-outs, if you don't mind. This is from Pauline Venicolo, and she says, hey, long-time listener, first-time writer, and I've been listening to you guys since Y100 to introduce my son to you when he was in middle school. He's been hooked ever since. So a year ago, went to follow his career path as a music teacher, which took him to California. So we packed him up, one car, one cat, four adults, and a U-Haul, traveled 3 days to get him set up in his new home. We parents are so proud of his accomplishments, and he listens to the podcast, so he does not miss a beat of happenings in Pennsylvania.
Awesome.
Besides being his mom and dad's 30th anniversary, September 15th, please give Jonathan a big shout-out with love from his mom and dad. You guys are the best. So here's a quick shout-out. This was a quick correction.
Oh.
It's no big deal, but I just thought it was interesting that in the Bizarre File, I talked about something that occurred in Bexar County, Texas.
Right.
It says, I'm assuming that was in Texas, but the correct pronunciation of Bexar is beer.
Beer?
Bear. B-A-R, yeah.
When you had that story in the B-File, I saw people texting the correct pronunciation is bear, but I had no idea what they were referencing.
Yeah.
And, wow, okay.
I'm not familiar with that, but B-E-X-A-R is pronounced bear.
Interesting.
In Texas for some reason. Yeah.
We try to be as accurate as possible here, so that's great.
Yeah, thank you very much. That's from Jeff Minnick.
You ever encounter words like that that absolutely have no relation?
There's no reason why that should be pronounced that way.
And there has to be. Why do you pronounce it that way?
Yeah. There are words that have interesting spellings or have taken on a weird pronunciation.
And you assume that there's a story to warrant that pronunciation because there's no words on it.
Yeah.
There's no correlation between the letters. I mean, you know, obviously phone and the phonetics can change from in different situations, but that's not even close.
There was a road in St. Louis. It was spelled S-P-O-E-D-E, I think.
Spode.
Right. No, it's pronounced Spady. Where'd you get it?
Yeah, come on.
Who decided we're going to call this Spady? I have no idea.
You're just being difficult at that point.
Yeah. Yes. San Antonio, here's a Wikipedia article. San Antonio is in Bexar County, but it's pronounced Bear, not Bexar. You'll have the locals laughing at you if you say Mexia instead of Mahia. What does that mean?
I have no idea.
It's just another.
Okay.
Something else in that
county. Bear County comes from a Mexican word, San Antonio de Bejar, and it used to be spelled B-E-J-A-R.
And somehow along the way, they've got an X in there, but it's always been pronounced bear because it's a Mexican word, Mexican derivation.
All right, well, there you go. All right, thanks for the correction. And then one last shout out says, hey, Presbo, would like to get a shout out for my amazing fiance, Joel Matusoff, on or around October 9th. So
yeah, nailed it.
I was going to lose this, so yeah, I'm doing it now. We both listen to the show religiously and constantly quote it. Thank you guys for being the best entertainment around. My dad and I have been listening to MMR since you guys have been here. Thank you, Laura Gramiak. So here you go. Shard out. All right.
And then I have a shard out, if you don't mind. This goes out to Brian Sokolowski. And Brian celebrated a birthday on Saturday. And he said that he would love it if we could squeeze out a juicy Tom Jones shard out for him sometime. He asked for Tuesday. It's Wednesday. But it's for his birthday, which happened over the weekend. He realized that. And he actually made this request a month ago. I said, can you please remind me?
All right.
And
we'll do it a full one then,
and
right?
Here we go.
All right.
Yeah!
Hope you appreciate that. Hey, so yesterday, my daughter and I were heading out in the car to run an errand. And as we went outside, I didn't even think about it. But I look up in the sky. I saw the sun. It was around, I don't know, 6:30 or something like that. And it had a noticeable different appearance to it yet. I had heard. Yeah. It was double rainbow. But it was so odd looking. And I was like, Caroline, you know, I go, take a quick look at the sun. And I said, do you know what? I said, what do you think about that? She's like, wow, it looks different. I said, yeah, it's because of the wildfires out west. She just couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
That the smoke went that far?
That from that far away, that it is having that kind of an effect. It tweaked her melon a little bit. And as we went and ran our errands, and then on the way back, it was much later, and the sun was much closer to the horizon, so it got even more dramatic. And, you know, clearly you wouldn't have been able to look at it under normal circumstances.
Right.
But you could stare right at it for a moment, and it was so wild-looking, had this pinkish hue to it.
It is amazing.
Hard to believe.
Yeah. And it's in cases where there have been volcanic eruptions around the world, a lot of times, though, there's horrific results from those volcanic eruptions, you will be treated to spectacular sunsets and sunrises as the debris goes into the air. After, Press, I told you I saw the special on the Krakatoa volcanic explosion. For years afterwards, the sunsets were spectacular because of all the debris that shot up in the air.
I had no idea. I was driving, and this was on Monday night. I was driving with my mom, and I actually took a picture of it as well. I was like, I didn't know, and I felt like an idiot. I didn't know if I was looking at the sun or the moon because I could look directly at it, but it was it was still really bright in the sky.
That's all the meteorologists are posting. Is it the sun or is it the moon?
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. It's pretty stunning.
Well, stare at it for a half hour.
and the fact that it kind of messes with my head too. I'm like, that is, you know, that's a 5-hour flight away from here.
Yeah. All right, so here's a mind blower on that very same special. Okay, so when Krakatoa exploded, I think it was 1883, when it had the big detonation. I was telling you this off air, Preston. The sound was hearable at its near full volume 3,000 miles away.
What?
Meaning that if an explosion occurred in San Francisco, in New York, they would have heard it at almost the same volume.
Wow.
That's wild.
That's incredible.
I mean, that's astonishing. They said that sailors on boats 10 to 20 miles away were rendered deaf as their eardrums blew out.
Wow.
I can't believe I didn't realize it was because of the haze. Although, it's thousands and thousands and, you know, miles away. So I didn't.
Sure.
When I was looking in the sky, I could see clouds.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay, so it's. Whatever I'm looking at is not behind clouds. It's a clear sky.
Yeah. It looks weird right now. I just looked out the window.
There is a weird tint.
It's not the tint on the windows either.
Sure?
It's the actual sun that I'm looking that you're looking at. And I wonder how long it's going to last.
Global rainbow. Oh my God.
It's going to last a while. I would imagine.
And it also just shows how impactful and how many fires are out there right now. How bad this fire season is because it's that much smoke traveling across the country. And then Marissa just sent us an email. It's affecting sunsets and sunrises in the UK as well. So it's now crossing the Atlantic. Yeah.
Kidding.
Yeah, it just shows how
air currents work, you know?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
As big as the world is, yep. and as big as, you know, you believe it is, you know, they talk about that eventually there's going to be, they believe, a cataclysmic landslide. I forget what country it's in or where it is in Europe, but they believe that landslide will eventually occur. And when that landslide occurs, it will flood out Manhattan.
Yeah, the Azores, maybe? Is that what you...
It's possible.
There's a volcano in the Azores and then the Canary Islands or whatever. And yeah, Steve, I read about that as well. And listen, the Earth is 4.5 billion years old, right? And so at some point...
As happens.
Yeah, and your wife was just out in Yellowstone. That's sitting on top of a cauldron. At some point, and it happened 600,000 years ago, and it happened 600,000 years before that.
Right.
But it just shows how massive the amount of time is, because it could happen next week.
Right.
It won't.
Or in another
thousand years, which for Earth is nothing. But for us, it's 1,000 years.
I think, I don't know if I said this on the air the other day, but physicist.
Neil deGrasse Tyson.
Neil deGrasse Tyson had tweeted that. He said, you know, in 4 billion years, the Andromeda Galaxy is going to collide with the Milky Way or something along those lines. He said, but don't worry, the sun will absorb the Earth well before that happens.
Yeah, so we're fine.
Yeah, so we're okay.
Oh, man.
Interesting. So, but next few days, if you haven't seen it yet, it's pretty compelling to take a look at. Hey, this is some good news outside of all that. Amazon has announced a career day today, and they're hiring 33,000 new employees with an average compensation package worth $150,000.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Yeah, so, obviously.
Yeah. Everybody's looking for a job. You might be able to find some employment for now, depending on where you are.
Kevin Reardon, doesn't he work for Amazon?
Yes, he does. Yeah.
Lockdown?
Lockdown. That's his regular Saturday night thing. No,
yeah, it's his regular Saturday night thing.
That's his... I don't want to call it. It's his career. That's how he pays his mortgage. And
but
then
he's doing like IT stuff. Yeah.
Yeah. So Amazon currently has 32,000 job openings for corporate and tech roles, and says it will share thousands of additional hourly roles in Amazon's operations network soon.
I like those Hawaiian rolls.
All of the new employees. Yeah, those are really good.
Yeah.
All the new employees for these roles will be paid at least a minimum wage of $15 per hour, with up to 20 weeks of parental leave.
They're if you work for Bertucci's, do you get those roles?
Those are
probably
good roles.
Those are good.
Really? Yeah. Oh, I don't know what those are.
Yeah, you've never had the Bertucci's rolls?
No.
Oh, my God.
Good crust on them, Kevin.
Okay? Yeah. Oh, wow.
Solid and if you get the kids' meal, they get to make their own.
That's right.
Really?
Yeah. Right, so,
oh, wow.
They need to be heated, though.
They used to.
Prior pressing to this this hiring thing that's going to happen with Amazon, how many employees did they have? Because I had heard something about Amazon and Jeff Bezos over something along the lines of, with the money that he's made since the pandemic started.
I'm sorry, Casey, the pictures of the Bertucci's rolls are up on the screen.
Here. Oh, yeah, they are really good.
But go ahead.
With the money that Bezos has made since the pandemic started, he could actually afford to pay each employee a $100,000 bonus and still have the same amount of money he had before the
pandemic. Well, that's the reasoning for this hiring. And they're saying that all of the online sales, that's why they need help in the
IT
department.
Yeah. It's exploded. Yep. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Kathy, here's another Jeff Bezos fact. When he got divorced and split his money.
Right.
So from that time, which was what, a year ago?
Yeah.
How long ago that he got divorced and it was finalized? That money has been totally recouped.
And by the way, his wife became the richest woman in the world once she got his settlement.
Oh, yep. Just by getting divorced.
That's what I read. She became the richest woman in the world just by getting
divorced. I want to be the richest woman in the world by just getting divorced.
I will take it. I'll say this now. I'll take it in every
absolutely, man.
Yeah.
You know what?
Yeah. To be the richest woman in the world.
And even if it's a tight fit.
Mm-hmm.
I'm hoping it's going to be a tight fit.
Oh, dear Lord.
You're sick.
Sick bastard.
We're just opening up our holes. We're not...
All right.
By the way, she got $38 billion.
$38 billion. That's with a B.
I'll take a billion.
A B. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
It's like a billion.
Oh, yeah, that's
it's
right.
Like a billion. Yeah. I'll take it in every hole.
Yeah.
I'll take it in every hole.
Oh, wow.
I made some rough decisions up here on Mount Kennedy.
Still there.
That's from yesterday's music news.
That's right.
I've decided to take it in every orifice. If I can be a divorcee with $38 billion.
Yeah.
You're better than that!
You're richer than that!
Yeah, so Anyway.
By the way, it made her the third richest woman.
Oh, I'm sorry. I apologize.
I was trying to see who was before her. Okay.
Courtney Stodden.
Not Courtney Stodden. The queen was up there at one point.
Who's the richest Oprah. Woman? Who's the richest woman in the world? Does it have a list?
No.
The queen, J.K. Rowling.
Yeah, J.K. was up there. Yeah. And she's taking some heat again lately.
Mm-hmm.
Yes. Like listen, this is a probably a stupid question, but, you know, we talk about Jeff Bezos' worth, right?
And yeah.
He can't go to the bank account and withdraw $200 billion. He doesn't. He has a lot of that money in
right.
stocks assets. And yeah. assets. But
ownerships. Yeah.
How much money do you think he, like...
How much money could he go jump into a pile of?
Liquid.
Yeah. Substantial. Substantial. Because I think there's also... again, that's the funny thing when you talk about levels of wealth like that. No one, you know, you don't staggering. Have it in your mattress, yeah.
Right. I mean, can you do the Scrooge McDuck jump in a vat of money?
Yes, absolutely.
I tell you what, if you've ever taken a look, I remember seeing one time there was a just to explain how much a billion is.
A billion.
today's TED Talk, I explain how much a billion is.
It showed a demonstration of what physically. That much cash looks like in $100 bills. And it showed, you know, $1,000, $10,000, $1 million, and $100 million, and then it goes to a billion. The difference between millions and billions is it's obscene how much a billion is.
And then it's multiple billions.
Yes, multiple billions. Hundreds of billions,
it's like
right?
Where the dragon lives in the Hobbit.
Right. That's a What's big that? Treasure chest.
Smaug.
Oh. Smaug. Desolation of Smaug. I can't believe you made a Smaug reference.
Yeah, it's got a big cave of gold in it all over the place. It's just below Mount Kennedy.
Yes.
Where I've been living for the past year.
Is there billions in there?
Billions!
Yeah.
Go ahead, Kennedy.
The richest woman is Walmart heir Alice Walton.
Ah.
Okay. And then second is somebody in the L'Oreal camp.
Good question. How much do they have? I'm sorry.
Yeah, please.
Walmart lady Alice Walton is $54.4 billion.
Wow.
This woman from L'Oreal is $48.9 billion. And then, number three is... So this is 2020. So I guess maybe Bezos is in number four.
Okay. So we're not to the full end of 2020, obviously, though we desperately want to get to the end of 2020.
Uh-huh. Yeah, we're looking at this illustration of $1 million in $100 bills. That's very small. That's like not even like a suitcase. Look, if you look at the top right of the photo.
Oh, yeah.
And then it shows $100 million, then a billion, and then a trillion. It's like a trillion.
It's like a trillion.
It's like it looks like the size of
that on the roof I hear?
A football field. Or even bigger than that. Wow.
And then also, I need to see, like, a realistic, like, if Scrooge McDuck actually dove into that gold, he would break his neck, right?
Yeah.
I mean, he dives into it like it's liquid.
It's hard coins.
Right.
Yeah, he jumps into it. It's almost like they're not even trying to be real.
Yeah, it's a cartoon.
I mean, come on.
We should go over this whole list at some point. It's very interesting.
You want to do it now?
No, we don't have to, okay. but right. I'm just saying.
She's got chickens on the mind.
Forbes, usually, they annually announce those, so when the new list comes out, I'm sure we'll dive into it. But let's talk about another high-profile person, Pope Francis.
Yes.
If you can't get enough of your cardinal sins, you are preaching to the choir, says Pope Francis. In an interview with Italian writer Carlo Petrini, His Holiness referred to sex and food, among other delights, as gifts from God. Furthermore, to enjoy them is not sinful, as overzealous church leaders have taught in the past, he said. Pleasure arrives directly from God, he said. It's neither Catholic nor Christian nor anything else. It's simply divine. The pleasure of eating and sexual pleasure come from God.
So have they extracted, I don't know where they stand on this. Now, Casey, perhaps you could, the pursuit of sex for simply pleasure and outside the realm of procreation.
It's fine.
Okay.
Yeah,
it is?
But just
what in the Catholic Church?
Yeah.
No, they still teach that it's to procreate.
No. What?
They're,
so
what about Blumkin?
Between a married man and woman, as far as a Catholic in the eyes of the Catholic Church, sex is fine.
Yes.
As long as you're not using contraception.
All right.
As long as you're
for pleasure,
right.
Yeah.
So
Without the intent of procreation.
What about condoms? Are you allowed to use condoms?
No. So you're not allowed to use contraception.
Any kind.
You have
any
to use, kind. It's like a...
natural planning, right?
Yeah, so, that's what it's called. And they take the temperature. Yeah,
yeah, isn't that called the rhythm?
The rhythm, yeah.
Can you get a vasectomy?
No, you can't get a vasectomy.
No. Wow, okay.
But in the church, Casey's right, that's what it's called.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay. So, I was just curious because I know that they're
I remember when
the church has gotten more progressive in a lot of ways. I was just curious where they stood right now.
When I went through pre-Cana and, you know, which is, you know, basically marriage classes before you get married.
Which I rocked, by the way.
And there. Yes, so did I. I couldn't believe how into it I was. Because when I was going, I was like, oh, my God. You know, you had to go like, you know, a couple of Saturdays or whatever before,
We went one afternoon.
Yeah, we did two.
And I guess because both my wife's uncles were priests, and I guess they put the word in, but they were asking me to, like, you should, I mean, you know, to be a deacon. I'm like, you don't want that.
You sit there with other actual married couples who have been through it. So, you know, a couple that's been married for 10 years, 20 years or whatever. And you know.
I've been married for 10 years.
Yeah. he's sitting there in the group.
Yeah, you were never married, Rambo.
I was, but I lost her on Mount Washington, right next to Mount Kennedy.
Right. It's the presidential mountain range.
Right. Over there is Mount McKinley.
But they did, obviously, sex did come up, and as far as, you know, sex for pleasure and it being fun. And so, you know, they talked about it. And
money for nothing and chicks for free?
Mm-hmm. Well, it was interesting because the wife was basically saying... to not deny your husband of his advances, right? So she basically said, you know, even if, and I was like blown away because I like knew these people. I was like, that's a lot of information.
Yeah.
But essentially.
Here, let's show you.
She had even.
I have a problem with that.
Well, I know. Listen, okay. I agree with you.
Okay.
And it was weird, but she had even said.
When that has been said, Case, and I've heard that said, and a lot of times it's to simply say, sometimes if you don't get assaulted, but you try to be there for each other physically.
You have to let me finish. She wasn't basically saying spread him whenever he wants, but she said, you know, if he advances and you're not in the mood, that you should at least try to make it some sort of concession. I don't want to do this right now. Can we do it tomorrow?
Yeah.
You know, something along those lines.
Can we go to Floral and Hardy?
Can we go to Floral and Hardy? I want to do some succulents.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, well, I want to do succulents, too. That's why I'm advancing right now. But she basically said, even if you don't want to do it right now, maybe we can do this later on.
All right.
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
Anyway, back to this.
Yeah, anywho.
Francis had said, referring to the church's past condemnation for life's gustatory as sexual pleasures as overzealous morality, a wrong interpretation of the Christian message. He said the pleasure of eating is there to keep you healthy by eating, just like sexual pleasure is there to make love more beautiful and guarantee the perpetuation of the species.
Well, the food pleasure, the pleasure of something wonderful, has always been tied to the acts. To sex in the visceral pleasure. There have been, you remember that scene in 9 1/2 weeks, you know, by the refrigerator and all, you know, food is very erotic.
Yeah, I don't think he's combining those.
He's saying gluttony. See 9 1/2 weeks.
No, I think he's I think he's saying, you know, gluttony is considered a sin, right?
Right.
It's one of the seven deadly sins.
But enjoyment of food is okay.
Yeah. Views that banish such basic aspects of life have caused enormous harm, which can still be felt strongly today, the 83-year-old claimed. He said there are much bigger issues to pray over, namely climate change, deforestation, and unsustainable consumption. So that's his take on that. Yeah,
exactly. That's what's rocking in my world.
I thought that was kind of interesting. I guess we're in the junk drawer.
Are we?
Apologize. Oh, I didn't even realize.
Yeah, what the hell? Yeah,
I didn't even get to do this.
I apologize. We'll stay with sex and relationships for a moment. Well, this doesn't involve sex, but it does involve relationships. Oscar Mayer.
Yeah, man.
Is offering free rentals of the Wienermobile for marriage proposals.
I thought that was decommissioned.
No, dude, it was in Philadelphia like last weekend.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, did you see it?
No, but I was getting emails from the driver and I guess the co-pilot of said Wienermobile, and unfortunately, they weren't going to be here until Saturday.
They were
here on like the 12th
and
the 13th.
I would have loved to have seen it.
It's a minor
Wiener.
It's a minor itty-bitty dream of mine. To get inside of the Oscar Mayer Wienermobile.
It was in our parking lot.
Yeah,
it was. Yes, it was.
Yeah, but we didn't get to go down and check it out.
We did not. Did we?
I think that was Bill's fault.
The idea came from...
I don't want my air staff in a wiener. A hot dog, no. Hamburger, yes.
The idea came from the Wienermobile's official driver, Zach in Cheese.
Zach in Cheese.
That's his name, who actually proposed to his girlfriend at Yellowstone last week.
In the Wienermobile?
It's two drivers, Zach and Cheese. Those are the two of them. All right, and to rent the Wienermobile for free to make an appearance for proposals, Oscar Mayer recommends that people sign up 3 months to a year in advance to find dates that are not booked.
We were talking to a former driver of said Wienermobile, and where you would imagine that it's really hard to negotiate and drive. He said it was actually pretty manageable.
Yeah, yeah. So if you are interested and you want something quirky and kind of different, you can now try to make that happen. See if you can schedule that. Okay. Let's see. Have another junk drawer story. September is traditionally when visitors and locals alike celebrate a certain mythical creature in McDowell County, North Carolina. This year, they are taking a different approach. Due to the pandemic, the county is hosting a Bigfoot scavenger hunt instead of the usual celebration, which was called off in July. So they have a big Bigfoot thing, I guess.
They have their own version of Bigfoot. Is it right?
No, it just says Bigfoot.
Okay.
So I guess they have had sightings there.
Right.
And here's how it works. Locals and visitors will hunt for Bigfoot emblems, which are scattered throughout the county. The list of emblems is available online or at the County Visitor Center. And then you go hunting.
They want you to go hunting for Bigfoot?
County tourism officials say it will take you all throughout the area. Bigfoot, it says, is the social distancing champion of the world. There are a lot of traditional businesses that have been in the community for a while that are part of the hunt, and some new ones further out that are going to test people's knowledge. So you take pictures of these emblems.
All right, okay.
So that's the hunt that they're doing.
I would love it if Bigfoot actually existed. I think of all the
mythical creatures,
yeah. That's the one.
Well, you're influenced by Harry and the Hendersons, aren't
no
you?
Doubt. No yeah. doubt. I love that
that's
movie.
The one you rank highest, huh? The fictional creatures.
More so than Loch Ness and
I'm either
Champ.
Like a unicorn or dragon.
Ooh, I think those are.
Yeah, but
no, that's
but
a bunch those, of crap.
Those are. I think those are different.
Yeah,
I think there's. They're more fantasy related rather than there really might be a Bigfoot. You know, I mean,
well, the Loch Ness
nobody's
monster,
ever seen dragon yeah. prince and but the Loch Ness monster
is a plesiosaur, is what they say.
Is a a dinosaur of sorts,
right.
and so I think there's a little bit of difference. So like a Yeti would be another one that may. Right. Could potentially be real. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. These are one of those things that is just fun to...
Chupacabra.
Chupacabra.
Would be another one.
Right. Well, did you ever see the Mike Tyson Mysteries?
He couldn't say it.
Yeah, it's one of them chupacabra.
He was like a chupacabra.
He could not say
it. It was like him and Jackie Bam Bam not being able to say kayak. Is that show still on?
It
is,
yeah. Oh, it is?
Yeah. I don't know if there's new episodes, but they show them.
All right, so they're doing the Bigfoot hunt. And now, here's another interesting thing that was kind of an assumption of sorts, but they may have confirmed. The pharaoh, Tutankhamun, his tomb, of course, King Tut, has been one of archaeology's greatest treasure troves. Howard Carter and his team discovered the tomb nearly a century ago, but it's still revealing secrets. One of the most mysterious objects discovered inside the burial chamber was a black iron dagger encased within the young ruler's linen burial wrappings. So buried with him. So this was important.
Right.
The placement of the dagger right at the mummified side of Tutankhamun, as well as its ornateness, were key indicators that it was among the pharaoh's most prized possessions. The thing is, 3,300 years ago, it was smelted iron was almost unheard of in Egypt at the time.
Above it is written in Egyptian is whoever smelted dealt it.
I knew it, man.
And that means that well-crafted, rust-free daggers from that era are rare, to say the least. But there's something really interesting about this. Theories posited the blade's origin was extraterrestrial, from meteorites to be exact. Yet there was no conclusive evidence to back it up. Then a group of Egyptian and Italian scientists used a process known as X-ray fluorescence spectrometry to define the artifact's metallurgy.
Yeah.
More definitively. The results of their scans confirmed that the blade's material did indeed originate from the heavens. Isn't that wild?
Well, you know what they say. So here's the deal. We're starting to get into the realm where some of this stuff, which seemed almost too fantastical to believe, is now, the Egyptians and what they were achieving and what we know to have occurred, All right, subtract any extraterrestrial influence. It's so mind-boggling in some of the forward thinking and the things they were able to achieve. It's a mind blower. However, if you know the Mecca, mm-hmm, and the edifice that they go around for the there is a stone, mm-hmm, in the side that they all congregate at and eventually want to touch, almost like the
supposedly Muhammad had stood on it or something, right?
Yeah. This stone is believed to be of that was in a meteorite.
Like a meteorite. Right. Okay.
Right. This is what they're perceiving, okay, or the people have suggested it could be. And it's not just like a fly-by-night rumor. They believe that that's the case. It's not out of the realm of possibility.
I'm not that blown away by it because essentially we all came from space anyway, you know? Do you know what I mean? Like my fingernails came from space.
I can
right?
see that.
Yeah.
They're gorgeous.
Yeah, they are gorgeous.
No, but I find the most interesting thing about it is that they were able to find a meteorite and use it, you know what I mean? Because yeah, those things, they fall out of the sky, but they don't happen that often, and they're not all over the place. They're very rare to actually find. So the fact that they actually had that and used it for their king, I find it interesting.
Well, did you see the classification? And it's actually in the documentation from the Navy or with the Pentagon release concerning those UFOs that were seen, that Navy footage of those craft traveling at
Are you talking about this week? Because 2 days ago.
A couple of weeks ago. Did they come out with another one?
No. Yeah. Listen, I'm not a TikTok person. Right. But all over TikTok yesterday morning and today's Wednesday, right? Yeah. And Monday night, there were these UFOs spotted in New Jersey.
Really?
Bring it up to
okay.
you guys. And listen, I'm not a believer in this type of stuff. I'm right. really, really a skeptic. You see a bunch of these videos, right, and at least it lends a little bit of credence isn't even the right word, but it makes you look again.
Well, this Navy footage that has been out for a while that they did release, the experts, the people who have researched it, the people who are not your UFO hunters, say to the best of their determination, this is not something from Earth.
Right. It,
and that's, they've got, that's
not something from Earth.
That's what they are saying.
I thought it could have been some kind of drone technology they weren't aware of.
No, it's very possible. But that also appears in now, according, you know, it's hard to know what you can believe, what you can't believe. But you know, it's interesting.
There's
is this the footage you're talking about that's playing up here in the...
This is this week, yeah. So this is literally 2 days ago, and it's in New Jersey, and I saw a whole bunch of videos yesterday of people posting these things, and it's interesting to look at it, at the very least.
I love it, and, you know, part of me wishes it was true, as long as they're...
Casey, we're here to get your fingernails.
As long as they're not...
As long as they're benign.
Benign.
Right.
There's a documentary, I believe it's on Amazon Prime. It's this woman in... She is either in Canada or really close to Canada.
Banff.
She has like 30,000 feet of like film footage of these UFOs that just keep showing up. And apparently she has some sort of like this intuitive, like without even looking
right
outside, she'll go, oh, they're here. And then she'll go outside and then there they are.
Hi.
Yeah. And so they're going through all this footage, and then the documentarians are at their home interviewing her family about it. And at one point, it's crazy, and you don't know what it is, but they're interviewing the one daughter, and she's standing in the kitchen, and there's a window behind her. What?
Finish your story.
All right. Texts are coming in about the UFO.
Okay, okay, so she's standing in the kitchen, they're interviewing her, and the window is behind her.
Right.
And the freaking UFOs show up, and they're standing, and not the...
Is this a bad time?
The UFOs are flying behind her in the window.
Now, UFO just means it's an unidentified flying object.
Yeah. Doesn't mean it's from out of the solar system. Right. Hang on.
Yeti.
I'm going to go to Dave. Dave, go ahead. Enlighten us, sir.
He can still be a skeptic about believing in UFOs because the New Jersey UFO was the Goodyear blimp.
There you go.
It's the Goodyear blimp.
Yay.
There we go. See?
Thank you, Dave.
So, Occam's razor.
There was one time I was looking at a video of, you know, found footage or not found footage, but it was recently spotted, you know, UFO. I'm like, look at it. I'm like, wow, dude, that's scary. That looks legit. And then I went down. I saw one of the comments. It goes, it's a Mylar balloon.
Right. Yeah.
And I went back and I watched it again. It's a Mylar blimp.
And here's the thing. If you don't follow up on it right away, like I didn't with this the Goodyear blimp in New Jersey yesterday, I kind of let it go. I brought it up on the air, and then you get the reasonable explanation on it. But like when you watch it and don't follow up on it at all, it's like, no, I don't know what this is. Maybe it's something that I haven't seen
before.
I agree.
Check out the information pertaining to this naval footage that was released a while ago. And okay. At least that whether they said they weren't confirming that it was from – they said there was no technology like that they were aware of on Earth.
Yeah,
and that was the thing.
All right, interesting. We need to take a break because we do have some guests joining us.
We're running late.
We are. We have Super Nanny.
Yeah.
You love that show, right?
Yeah.
Oh, I love it.
Yeah.
I wanted to spank my hiney. I've been a bad alien.
We're going to come back in a moment, and we will get Joe Frost from Super Nanny on. Stay with us. We'll be right back.
Hey, gang, it's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020. Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead, pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
We have a new Daily Rush video.
Oh, what is it?
For you to check out. It's called Kathy's Junk Needs to Breathe. It says Joe Exotic has an underwear line and Kathy wants a pair, but it needs to be breathable for her junk.
Yeah.
You can watch it now at PrestonandSteve.com. Sponsored by Punchline Philly, Fishtown's first comedy club, restaurant, and bar.
Her junk suffocates easily.
It does.
Yeah.
It needs something in there to air it out a little bit, you know.
Yeah.
Like a little fan or something. A little guy going blowing on it, something like that. It's easy to fall down the Daily Rush YouTube hole if you go watch our videos. And I wanted to, if you don't mind, I'm going to give a little plug-a-rooney for my own YouTube channel.
Right.
And I need, I'm just getting it started, so I'm trying to build my...
Your viewership.
My base.
Or your subscribers.
And yes, so I have another video that's ready to be released.
And what is it?
Well, it's a song. It's a drum video.
Drum videos.
They're all drum covers.
Are you going to do any OnlyFans stuff?
I'm not doing it until I get 70 more followers.
Oh.
70 more subscribers. Because then I'll have 2,000 subscribers.
2,000. Very nice.
So, if you go to YouTube, I know you're... How dare we not be able to release this? No, but you just type in my name in the search bar, Preston Elliott. It will take you to my page, and I have a new video that's ready to go.
And are you getting lots of views per release?
Not really.
Well, listen, do you enjoy doing it?
Yes.
That's what matters.
I'm having fun, and I'm enjoying watching it grow, and it's cool. Am I an amazing drummer? No, but I'm just a dude.
You're a damn good drummer.
Thank you. I'm a dude having fun playing some songs, and I think I have an interesting choice of songs. I try to – some of them are like, okay, I think people that – if you love rock, you'll like this. And then other ones are like, I think that'd be kind of fun to play just for fun. And so
these are very popular. You're in this this format, which is a lot of drummers do this sort of thing.
Yeah. And tons, I think way better than me, by the way.
But I think you approach it with the zeal of someone who's just really having fun, and you get creative with some of the stuff, and it's well worth checking out.
Can I ask you a question that I hope is not a boring question to the listener? But you mentioned earlier, because I think it's his birthday today, Mark Anthony. And you listened to his music really for the first time. You weren't a fan, or you didn't really care one way or the other.
Mm-hmm.
And then something about it sparked an interest in you. Do you know what it was that actually made you think, oh, my God, I actually kind of like this, or I find this intriguing?
I wear his clothing.
Was it that?
What it is?
No, it was just the rhythm of the music I thought was really cool. So Latin music is very rhythmically based. There are all these really intricate types of rhythms that come from Cuban, Latin, and Brazilian, these cultures. And I just find them fascinating because they're really unique to music and they're very, very hard to master. And so I just heard some cool rhythms in that song, and I thought he had a good voice and it was a catchy melody. So that was pretty much it.
It's when something strikes you for the first time, even though it's been around for a long time, and all of a sudden you're like, why wasn't I listening to this before?
Yeah.
Part of me feels like, I've been missing out for this, you know. But the other part of me is, like, at least I discovered it now.
You guys search out new music more than I do.
Yeah.
And I always find it cool. I hear you guys having conversations about, I heard this song and I heard this group and here's this band and I'm really into it.
Right.
And I'm just one of those who's comfortable with what I already like. And so I don't seek out new music. And when
new stuff will come to
when
you,
something new does come to me and I'm like, wow, that's really cool. It is pretty special.
Right.
It's pretty awesome. So, but there are some people who continue that music journey. My buddy Will's the same way. He's always, you know, finding new bands and new sounds or genres that he's never gone down the path. And is like, you know, oh, wow, I'm now into jam bands or now I'm into, you know, like reggae is a trip I've been taking lately. So I am trying different genres that I haven't really, that I've only as just a consumer, more just a companion, you know, to that music. So
on life's rich journey.
Yeah, exactly. The rich journey. So anyhow, but everybody's got their different tastes and different takes on music.
And now you're over 2,000 subscribers on
YouTube.
Stop it.
Did it already happen?
Hey! I love you guys. Upload. Let's go.
Let's go for 3,000. Hey! Wow, dude, you know.
How about that? Power radio.
I love radio.
Are people awesome? Honestly, for you, listener of the show, we can't thank you enough.
You know what?
Now, if we hit 3,000, you could do an OnlyFans page.
Yes. All right. If he hits 3,000,
oh God, my balls feel so good today,
dude.
Yes.
Stop.
Is it only sex? The OnlyFans thing?
I think that's the draw for a lot of people, okay. But it can be anything.
I don't think that's how it started, though. I think it was more of a Patreon kind of a thing where
you were less beholding to.
It's Casey wants to start a cooking channel or whatever, but needs some funds, almost like a Kickstarter, but OnlyFans sort of. However you want to describe the angle, it became much more of a sex-driven industry. But I don't think
who's rocking
it that way.
Nick, our friend Sid Wilder.
Sid Wilder, yeah.
Oh, yes. My God. The stuff that she, and the stuff that she, she's smart. She'll tease it on Instagram.
Yeah. But I know Big J Okerson has one as well. And his
stuff
is not
hot.
It is not sexy. But his is obviously more comedy-based.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So maybe you can do some exclusive
You can.
Things.
Yeah. You can.
By the way, I just published the video. True to my word, it is.
Is this you up here?
It's that is not me. That's Sid Wilder.
Oh,
it is Billy Joel's "Angry Young Man." It's a really, really cool drum part and a lot of fun. So that has now been released. But yes, Sid Wilder. Sid is she's awesome. I post stuff and she comments on it. She's very active on social media, and I think that's cool. I think it's great because I'm blown away because she has, you know, hundreds and hundreds of thousands of followers.
Yeah.
But I guess that's her career.
Yeah.
So if your career is social media, I don't think I would enjoy that. It's too much.
It's all day, all night, every event, the phone is out, and she's constantly creating. Now, she's a stunner, so obviously, and she even works at that. And she's also been very honest about work that she's had done and so on and so forth. So her life is as much an open book. And I don't think you're prepared to open. I mean, we opened the book a little bit, but the book is way open with her.
Yeah. I mean, there's so many platforms. There's so many different ways to post. You have to check them all. And then when you're done with the last one, then you go right back to the first one. And Casey, you referenced that Social Dilemma movie earlier today. I mean, there have got to be parts of this for Sid Wilder, even though she's on it all the time, that's not healthy. The obsession with being on the phone all the time, even if it's successful, you're always trying to outdo what you did before.
And I find surprising who live in that world, like the Kardashians and you know, Chrissy Teigen, these people are really, really outspoken, that they will actually respond. Like some of the comments will get under their skin.
Yeah.
And they'll fire back at it. I'm like, you're not bulletproof to that by now?
Yeah. You haven't built that protective blister.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't have one scintilla of the followers, and I'm Teflon. It's it is what it is.
And maybe some of it is personal, but some of it could be part of the whole theory behind it. Because
perpetuating the brand.
Yeah, the more you respond, the more you're
engaged.
The more you engage on that social media platform, the more likely your post will show up in your followers' feed.
Right, right.
Well, I was bleaching my anus on my OnlyFans side.
Right. Right.
Wait, you were doing that by yourself?
Yeah, I was doing it myself.
Wow.
Yeah. And then I got all sorts of flack because
he uses a mirror.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you were catching flack for that?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
I mean, come on, man. Yeah. That's personal grooming.
Well, I it wasn't completely white. I didn't get as white as I wanted.
Oh,
it was more off-white, and so I didn't do it right.
I got you.
It was my first time.
So anyway, well, thank you for jumping on and subscribing. And if you want to, once you know, just type in Preston Elliott in the YouTube search bar, and it'll It'll take you to my page, and you can subscribe. And I'm still learning all of the mechanism that is YouTube. So I guess if you click on the little bell, it will give you an alert when I release a new video. And I'm trying to do one like every 10 days to 2 weeks.
You got to keep the content fresh. And obviously learning the ins and outs. If YouTube is your platform, and it's a good platform to be on, there's a lot to learn. Every one of these things has their own proprietary stuff that you have to get adroit at.
There are people who make careers out of telling you how to use YouTube as a career.
Social media. Well, listen.
It's unbelievable.
Marissa and Sarah here at the station are the ones who are really guiding all of the social media.
Yeah. All right. Ready for our guest.
She's awesome.
She is fantastic and has been at this for quite a while. The show just keeps cranking out, and it is called Super Nanny.
It's addictive. We've had her
on before. Love her to death. Please welcome Joe Fraud.
Yeah.
The show this morning. Good morning, Joe.
Good morning. Thank you for having me.
No problem. Hey, you know, we were just having a social media discussion, and obviously you being in the limelight, having a successful show. How active are you in that realm?
I'm extremely busy right now. Extremely busy, as you can imagine, right? Families needing the help, homeschooling, trying to work it out, right? With work, boundaries.
I would say this. I would figure that with you and let me ask you on the level of social media and working with kids and the constant distraction of social media and screen time and so on and so forth. What advice can you give to parents who are now trying to set up sort of makeshift schools at home and, you know, parse out that time on the screen?
Well, it's a little bit different now. So we have to just recognize that, you know, the tablets are being used for the correct purpose: socialization, education, and entertainment. And, you know, if we can solely remember that, then the importance will be to get the kids out as well and to make the most of being out whilst they can with the children, because it's going to be different around the states. So, you know, it's not the emphasis now of it being the babysitter. It's more a case of recognizing we do need the tablets right now, the social media, for those sole good purposes with intention.
Okay.
But to make sure that we've got the balance of getting out.
All right.
In your personal life, how many children do you have, and what are their ages?
I have spiritually millions.
yes. Yeah.
She doesn't have children.
Oh, I didn't know that.
Yeah.
So, so you don't have kids. Okay. So that was, it's interesting. Do you, now obviously you're great at what you do, but does anybody ever throw that in your face, even though you know what you're doing? You don't have kids. You can't, how could you have any idea?
Oh, it's such a lazy response. When you spend 33 years in the trenches with families and you have life experience, you know, you just get used to it. You think, well, that's rather lazy. It's quite, you know, it's predictable, to be honest, at this stage now, you know.
Well, and there is a skill set. I think so many people look to you, and it's funny to see the people on the show, on Super Nanny, who are one of the parties will be reticent to accept what you're saying, but it's such an honest, and I think what you remove condescension from the treatment of or at least the way you suggest they care for their kids, and that works. But you always win even the most steadfast critic over by the end of the show, and that's got to be very fulfilling for you.
Spiritually, for me, it's very rewarding because it's my vocational work. But, you know, I think at the end of the day, it's about integrity, you know, and I really do love what I do, and I genuinely really care. And I feel that, you know, when you're talking the truth and when you're delivering what you know is going to help a family, and that met with the empathy and compassion, and sometimes, you know, the firmness of a coach, like you would see, you know, on a sports team, it's appreciated and respected because of its conviction. And I think that at the end of the day is what families feel, even if it's very difficult for them, because it's not always easy for the families to go through that process.
Right.
But when the light bulb switch clicks, then they get it, you know, and that's always... that's always a wonderful place to be with a family, you know. It's always very rewarding in that aspect.
So, Joe, I'm a father. I have three kids. My oldest just started high school this year. I also have nieces and nephews that, you know, range in age from, like, almost 21 to, you know, basically a baby, like, you know, 3-4 years old. And so I wanted to ask you what you think, as far as nature versus nurture, and what are the most important, let's say, 4 years to the development of a child?
Love, connection, socialization, and good parenting skills, and leading that with example. I think really it's absolutely fundamental for a child's development, you know, that relationship, that bonding that families have. And we're seeing that now, you know, obviously in the pandemic, families spending a lot of time and connecting with their children. And I, you know, I've done a show several years ago that involved, you know, the question of nature versus nurture. And I think at the end of the day, when you don't see compassion and empathy and dysfunctional behavior, certainly that can lead to more dire circumstances in a family.
Right.
So I think it's important to recognize that, you know, that education is vital.
Yeah, I've actually noticed that with my son, because we have been pretty strict with the pandemic and quarantining, and he hasn't had much interaction with his school friends. He's, you know, home virtual right now. Yeah. But I've noticed over the last couple of months, he's really trying to find and it's not like we don't have a connection. We're very, very close. But he's like now he loves video games, and he's trying to get me to like play video games with him, and so like. I'm basically his buddy, his playmate, and so I understand that, but I also am his father, and then I need to, you know, make sure he understands that line.
Yeah, exactly, but I think you can enjoy it. Like, you know, it's moderation. You know, if he really loves a particular game, you know, you could do that with him. But again, it's the moderation, you know, just finding other hobbies and interests that he likes and you like, and exploring that. You know, I think that's one of the great magics of, you know, American history with families, is that children remember those moments where their dad taught them, or they had this together. It's like a right. special thing they did together, or they would talk chess or backgammon, you know. So there are other things you can do too, but in moderation, all in moderation.
It's such a parenting, it's such a subjective thing. And I, you know, thinking about this, I haven't been too thrilled with my own performance as a parent. And I'm wondering if most parents maybe feel that way. And is there a time when you know you did a good job? I feel like that I've raised good kids, but I haven't been happy about my own performance. You know, I mean, when can you tell you did the right job?
I think you're always going to question that, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
And I think it's very individual. You know, right now, parents are questioning that a lot because they're feeling guilty, right? That they're not able to give their kids, you know, what they want right now because of safety measures. But at the end of the day, what's most important right now is we're living and, you know, doing our best to thrive in a pandemic, is that our kids are loved and kept safe. You've seen the numbers. They're no joke. You know, we need to keep our kids safe, alive. The rest is going to come out in the wash. Whatever your kid's going to learn right now is not going to make or break their career when they're 28.
Right.
You know, and I think we have to keep perspective on that. You know, really keep perspective on it and have some fun and find the laughter, you know, because it's heavy right now. It's really heavy, and we're at a point of many tipping points. So we've got to find the fun. We've got to find the break, you know. We've got to, you know, have fun together, enjoy our relationships with our partners, you know, let the siblings come together and find that pocket of fun and continue to do that. Got to have the laugh. got to have it. You know, it's too heavy out there.
Yeah. Hey, by the way, your show, do you recommend that that parents, I mean, obviously parents are sitting down to learn from it, but that they have their kids watch it with them as well?
Yeah. I mean, it's already happening naturally. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to get emails from families that were watching and then telling me it was a great gateway to have conversations with their teenagers and their tweenagers. So it's already happening. It's amazing the letters I get from kids that tell me, like, what they're learning and, you know, what their families are doing. So it, organically, it's already started to happen many years ago. So I think it's wonderful. So, you know, that's what we need to do, to be able to have those conversations.
Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Lifetime is when you'll get to see Super Nanny again. Joe, we love you. Thanks for coming all this morning.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
All right, take care. The Super Nanny! Joe, I love you.
Joe, I love you.
Yeah, it's funny because this is
Joe,
not,
I love you.
My version is, you know, having my kids sit down and watch Super Nanny with them and going, see, that's what you need to do.
What she says.
What she just said. It's funny. Being a parent is such a weird thing, man. As that last question that I had asked her, you know, and she said, we need to lead by example. And it's like, I haven't done that. I guess I should have done that years ago.
Remember, though, look. They're good kids. You all have good kids. And they're my own parents. I remember mistakes that were made, things I wish. But if the legitimate love is there and you really try your best, it'll work out.
It's an interesting thing about nannies and babysitters, or like if you have a regular person like that. And what I wanted to ask her was if. You know, what kind of a bond do you have with those kids years later?
Yeah.
Who you're a nanny for? Because
dated them?
Well, we only had one regular sitter for a while, and we got her through a service. I forgot who it was, but Rochelle had set it up, and Caroline really had a bond with her. Her name was Reagan, by the way. And she.
It's good to see you, Caroline. Yes. Would you like some jelly beans?
That's right. You always have jelly beans.
I love them.
But she, you know. We thought it was this like special relationship, and then you know she left. She went to go get engaged, and we thought maybe we'd be in touch. And
nothing at all.
This is gone.
Well,
see you later.
You know,
never
I'll say,
to be seen again.
Because I've always had somebody. So the girl that spent the most time with Jace. I mean, I wrote her a card before she left, and basically in it, I said thank you for. I mean, she was part of the way Jace was raised, and you know there's a lot to say about that. She did more than she probably. Thought she did. You know, she came to babysit every day, but she spent a lot of time with him, and you know, part of who he's become was because of her.
Did the connections are you still
We still keep in touch. She lives in DC now, you know.
Kathy, I'm in DC now.
No, but
it feels oddly familiar.
Yeah, I mean, I still keep in touch with her. She still gets pictures, and, you know, she sent Jace a birthday gift. So there's still a little bit of a connection.
My brothers and I had a babysitter. Her nickname was Cricket. Her real name was Erica. But my parents still keep in touch with her to this day. She was one of those babysitters that would go on vacation with us so that my parents could go out and do stuff. She'd go to the Jersey Shore. She turned 50 last week. And Facebook allows people to stay in touch. You know, there are plenty of evils associated with Facebook.
Would you like your Spongeback?
No, I mean, she was a member of the family. She was the older sister that I never had.
Oh, that's nice.
It's pretty amazing how you can build connections with people that aren't family members that end up being family members.
I have known you for how long, and I've never heard of Cricket before.
Yeah, Cricket. Kegel was her last name. So
Kegel?
Kegel exercises.
Kegel.
Yeah,
wow.
Yeah, make the jokes now.
Yeah.
Man, she was an angel. She is an angel, and we were really lucky to have her growing up.
Did you guys ever babysit?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
It was the first job I had.
No kidding.
I think I made $2 an hour when I babysat.
Oh,
yeah,
my God.
Yeah, how about you?
Oh, no, that was how I got through college. I have always said this. I was not a good waitress. I worked at a restaurant for a little while in the coat room because I did not know how to be a server, even drinks.
Get it yourself.
Yeah. So
what do you want from me?
Yeah, you want what? No.
What am I, a waitress? Yeah.
So I babysat my entire, all the way through college.
Were you a good waitress?
I was a terrible waitress.
Were you a good babysitter?
Yes, I was a great babysitter.
Okay.
I will say that. Well,
I was not.
You're the oldest, too, and I'm the oldest in my family, and I think that you know, in some respects, I helped raise my little brothers a little bit, and so you learn a little bit of responsibility being the oldest sibling, and then, you know, just living in the neighborhood that I did growing up, there were a lot of little kids around, so you would naturally, parents need to find sitters. I mean, finding a sitter is hard, and once you find a good one, you don't want to let that person go.
From movies I've seen, the real money's made on when the parent drives the sitter home. Right? Yeah. Is that the
yes, Steve, right. That's not what happens. It really
is that only in the movies then?
This never happens. This although I did have a college friend where that did happen.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, that's and college.
She
liked it.
Slept with the dad.
Wow. It really does happen, Steve.
I make $1,000 a week.
Here was foreshadowing to what a lousy babysitter I was. So I was just a little kid at this time. I was probably in like second grade or something like that. I was just supposed to hang out with this kid who was a couple of years younger than me. And so we walked down to near the public pool in our neighborhood. And the snow cone man came by. Uh-huh. Snow cone man.
See you, kids.
He was across. Yeah. He was across the street. Right? Across a busy street.
Oh, no, and, Preston.
And so I'm like, Chris, stay right here. I'll be right back. I'm going to go get a snow cone. I ran across that busy street, and all of a sudden I hear, beep, beep, beep. Oh. He came running across the street, too, unbeknownst to me, almost hit by a car.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
Jesus.
And other parents were going, snow cones! Almost killed a kid on my first babysitting experience.
Preston.
Terrible babysitter. I have children.
I was at the Triangle Playground, and I was there with my cousins, and he had to go to the bathroom, so we decided to go across the street to pee behind a bush. I was in charge of taking him across the street. I didn't even look both ways. All I did was I counted the three. I didn't even look both
ways.
But it was like I just had tunnel vision. I was like, okay, we're going to go on the count of three. One, two, three. And the second we ran, I mean, there were cars coming both in both directions. Oh. I didn't even look both ways. You just hear, and then horns honking.
Yep.
Yeah.
You and I. You and me, man.
And yet you end up with kids.
Yeah. God.
And yeah, there you go. Wow. Listen, it happens.
Yeah, babysitting not part of my repertoire.
The people who are good at it though and are in demand. Oh. Like Kathy, obviously you were a good babysitter. I mean, because you were able to work through college doing that.
We've had a few come through the station.
Peyton was one.
Peyton babysat for Ben. Devin babysat for Ben and for your kids, Preston.
Devin was a really good babysitter. Yeah.
I had Lizzie and Aaron.
Yeah. Aaron. That's right. Aaron McGarity. She mm-hmm. she babysat for a stretch too. So I mean, we've been lucky enough to have. It's all women. I think. I don't think we've had any male babysitters.
I think I remember like
Kill Bill.
Time. Babysitting, I'm like,
dear God.
How's it,
kids?
Yeah. But I remember thinking, like, I'm not going to play games with you. That's what you're supposed to do as a babysitter.
Chew on the slipper.
Wow. All right. Well, anyhow, Super Nanny is brilliant at what she does. Yeah. All right, we're going to take a break, come back in a second. Some bizarre file stories. Yes, they're on the way. And you still have time to text in for the secret text word 39333. We'll be right back.
93.3 WMMR presents Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month, Mo Lauda and the Humble. Can't find another reason why this one hurts. Celebrating our area's best talent, bringing it to you on air, online, and in the community. Hear and see more at WMMR.com, keyword Local Shots. Mo Lauda and the Humble, Jackson's Local Shots Artist of the Month. Sponsored by Family and Company Jewelers. Find a band that rocks her world at Family. 93.3 WMMR, everything that rocks.
Let's take a trip into the world of the bizarre.
Now, bizarre. WMMR presents bizarre. Kristen and Steve's Bizarre File.
All right, we'll begin with this story. A filmmaker has been arrested for allegedly recording a pornographic movie at the Osun Osogbo Sacred Grove in western Nigeria, police say. The sacred forest, home of Osun, the Yoruba goddess of fertility, is a UN-designated World Heritage Site.
Doesn't sound like the right place for a porn movie.
And police said the man, Tobaloba? Jola Show.
Yeah.
Popularly known as King to Black HOC, was arrested for allegedly recording a sex movie in the forest.
Okay.
Neither he nor his lawyers have commented. Now, Osun Osogbo is on the outskirts of the city of Osogbo, and that's in the Osun state capital. Now, Mr. Jola Show is a popular porn movie producer with a huge following. His and snippets of the video, which allegedly show him dressed in the white robe adherents of the Osun deity, were posted on his website and social media accounts. It's not clear when the recording was done or how he entered the forest, which can be easily accessed from many routes. A follower of the deity said Mr. Jolahosho had desecrated the grove, which was a sacred land where worshippers from Nigeria and elsewhere offered prayers and sacrifices to the Osun goddess.
I'm Big Dick Black.
That's him. That's what apparently T-Black OHC or whatever his name stands for.
Yes, if you say it out loud, you'll...
T-Black HOC.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really indicate what type of porn was taking place. Now, porn in this...
Babysitter.
Well, porn in this world might just be nudity.
Yes, it could be.
To us, you have to go a couple steps further to call it porn.
Right.
You know what I mean? So I don't know. But
well, it's sacred and they were insulted and offended by it.
Exactly. A Malaysian man has said he found monkey selfies and videos on his phone after losing it in the bushes near his house.
So the monkeys got the phone and took selfies.
Yeah. Zachrids Rodzi posted the footage on Twitter, including a video that appears to show a monkey trying to eat the phone. Mr. Rodzi said that he thought the phone had been stolen on Saturday morning from the house in the city of Batu Pahat, where he lives with his parents.
Look, I'm going to do duck lips.
He found it again on Sunday afternoon outside the house.
Hey, bae.
At first, when the phone was missing, he said, I have no idea how to accept it since it's too strange.
Well, yeah.
But later when I
monkey opened, selfies, of course.
When I opened the gallery, I ran out of words. This is a translation of whatever he said.
It's a monkey D-pic.
I have no idea how to describe it because one of the impossible things just happened.
Yeah, it's a little... weird.
I shook and laughed so hard and quickly ran towards my parents to tell them.
Much often was the shock I am feeling.
Among the footage and pictures, Mr. Rodzi has a video of a monkey appearing to bite the phone, as well as a few blurry photos of the monkey itself.
The monkey pictures, for what they were, made me much amusement.
Others include out-of-focus images of trees, plants, and undergrowth. It's not possible to verify how the content came to be on his phone independently. Mr. Rodzi dismissed the idea that someone could be playing an elaborate trick on him, adding, there is no way that it's a prank because there's no one else in the house except me and my parents. He says, the monkey stole him and they're the ones who took the picture.
I tell you what, we're seeing more signs of self-awareness and sentience.
Yep, agreed.
It's happening.
A convicted serial bank robber serving out the end of his sentence at a Brooklyn halfway house escaped Friday morning by simply walking out the front door. Daryl Allen was transferred from Maryland Federal Prison to Brooklyn's Residential Reentry Center in June, only to decide that he'd had enough of the place after 3 months.
I'm tired of this.
He pleaded guilty in 2013 to a Queens bank robbery spree in which he targeted a single Chase Bank branch in the Rockaways three times over a three-month period. So he hit the same bank three times.
Wow, that's...
And eventually he was arrested for it. And unlike federal jails...
Well, the odds were against him.
Federal jails and prisons, halfway houses allow prisoners near the end of their sentence to begin transitioning back to society. People in custody at the reentry centers are encouraged to get jobs and spend time outside the facility, and some can even spend weekend nights at approved housing outside the facility.
So are they allowed to freely come and go? As
not freely.
Okay, but structured.
But there's times and when you have to be there. And this dude was at the end. He was ready to...
Why would you do that?
He'd been in jail for 4 years. And he just walks away. I don't know. He's an idiot. So, anyhow, he just walked out.
And he robbed the same bank three times. That's all you need to know.
Yep, exactly. All right, let me do one more story. A man from the UK who recently moved into Brighton was shocked to discover his new home, it was a new rented home, is cut, and he had no idea this, is covered in massive murals of Homer and Bart Simpson. It's great. I saw the outside of it.
That is awesome.
So awesome. Normally, a prospective tenant actually visits a house before deciding to rent it, but this year most people are taking video tours of homes on their phones and laptops due to the ongoing pandemic. While video tours can give a fair idea about how a house is going to be on the inside, not much is shown about its surroundings and neighborhood.
God wants us to do it.
Charlie Lucas Smith went on Google Street just 4 days before moving to his new place in Brighton, and it was then he discovered the house was overwhelmed with murals of the Simpsons characters.
I'm so funny.
He's not upset about it. In fact, he described the artworks as awesome.
Yeah. Yes, it is cool.
Yep. He said, I wanted to see if there was any parking spaces, and when I put the address into Google Maps, it suddenly sunk in where I was living. I sent a photo of it to in a group chat and said, surely we're not living here. Luckily, it's right up my street at the end of the day and something I really find funny. And I've always been a massive fan of The Simpsons.
That's perfect then.
He kind of lucked out. And there you go. That's what I have in the bizarre file. Nick, I know in your aunt's rental home in Manhattan Beach in California, what does somebody have a mural on the side of their home?
I was trying to remember it, Preston, but it was so...
It was along the lines of The Simpsons or something like that, and the neighbors didn't like it at all. And I was like, that's awesome. I love it. I think it looks really cool. Yeah. He'd have to...
I can't remember the details on it. I'll see if I can find it in the break. But, yeah, and there was no mistaking what it was.
Yeah, yeah. All right, anyhow, we have a secret text word prize to give away, and we're going to do it now.
It was the emoji house.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, which actually is kind of annoying.
It's pink with a couple of emojis on it.
Oh, then you hate it.
Kathy, number caller, please.
Ooh, 21.
All right, call 21 at 215-263-WMMR. Call now, and if you know the secret text word and you are that caller, you win the prize that we have. We'll get a random text or two, so we'll reveal who that is as well. When we return, stay put. We'll be right back.
Like what you hear? You can see it, too. Check out Preston and Steve's Daily Rush at PrestonandSteve.com.
Say goodbye to juggling paper coupons and missing out on the best deals. Download the Acme mobile app today to have your own personal grocery guru right in your pocket. Use it to plan your shopping list like a pro. Get personalized deals on the products you buy most and choose your shopping style. Whether it's in-store, delivery, or drive-up, where an experienced Acme associate will carefully select, bag your order, even pick up your prescriptions from the pharmacy, and bring it all right to your car. Acme. Fresh foods, local flavors.
Back with more of the Preston and Steve Show podcast.
We're supposed to go camping in up by the Grand Canyon of PA this weekend, and my son requested it. It's his birthday this weekend. The lows on Saturday night into Sunday morning will be in the 30s.
Whoa.
Yeah, but I like camping when it's cold. I much prefer to camping in heat because that's, you can't get...
Yes.
You can't cool down at all.
Yep, agreed. And it's hard to get comfortable.
Yeah.
And if you can bundle up, you can be comfy out in the cold.
Yeah.
And it's crisp. The air is crisp.
Exactly. Yeah.
I like crisp.
Do you have, sub-zero...
We got the full gear, yeah. But
blanket,
the sleeping bags. Sleeping bags, yeah. And the pad, and then we're going to bring extra blankets and winter gear, but hats and the whole nine. But yeah, campfire outside and stuff like that. I like that this time of year. It should be a good time.
We're doing the fire pit this weekend.
Are you?
Nice. I love that whole experience as well. Worth it.
Yeah,
Kathy loves camping. Cold.
I think she wants me to take her son camping because she's never going to do it.
I do. He wants to try it, and I
you should. Yeah, you should have.
What about when you return the chickens to the forest?
To the forest.
Yes. Listen, I'm branching out. Let me raise chickens.
I know. Baby
and
steps.
Yes. Baby steps. Mm-hmm. Then maybe I'll send Jace to camp with Nick.
All right.
Yeah. That will work out perfectly. While you manage the farm.
Right. The farm and contract.
He's out there with the combine.
All right, we're going to go to the phones and see if we can get a winner for the secret text word. And it was caller number 21 we were looking for, and it's Gabriel. Yo, Gabe, are you there?
Hey, bitches.
Hey, what? All right, Gabriel, what's the secret text word?
Let me see if I can pull this out. Pud?
Pud! He pulled it out. You got it. Hang on a second, Gabriel. We're going to get your information.
Fire.
And we're going to give you the Amazon Fire TV.
TV.
And a one-month subscription to Philo.
Philo.
The most affordable way to watch live and on-demand TV, including WE TV's Live After Lockup. Your favorite Love After Lockup couples are now living Life After Lockup.
Lockup.
The special four-part event, you can see if their love has what it takes to survive the pandemic lockdown. We've never been this far into the song. You can catch it Friday at 9 on WE TV.
You're gonna burn.
Whoa. Oh. All of a sudden, he turned from this to, you're gonna burn. All right, so we're also going to give that same prize to Musk Patrick. Is that Mark?
That's Mark.
Okay.
My name is Musk Patrick. I raise chickens on Mount Kennedy.
It looks like Musk.
Musk.
Mark Patrick.
Musk Patrick.
It looks like Musk Patsick.
Musk-Patrick.
From Brewall, Pennsylvania. So, no, he's from Brewall.
Mark Patrick, by the way, is intern Joe's next-door neighbor.
How about that?
This very Mark Patrick?
Yeah, it's got to be.
How about that?
Mm-hmm.
All right. We're going to do today's lesson question. We are going to give away a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. For the correct answer to this question, what fictional dragon is Rambo's favorite? And don't make one up. You probably won't get it. All right. What fictional... Well, I guess maybe you could. I don't know. But what fictional dragon is Rambo's favorite? And I'll tell you now, it's not... what was the song?
Puff?
Puff. Puff. It's not Puff. Yeah. The Magic Dragon. All right. It's a different one. What fictional dragon is Rambo's favorite? 2-1... When is there not a fictional dragon?
Yeah, I know, right? That's like in the what do you call it? Avengers?
Yeah.
He goes, oh, that's a made-up word.
And all words like, are made up.
215-263-WMMR. Let's see if you know the answer. We're going to do trash while you're calling in.
The trash business is a gold mine.
93.3 WMMR with Preston and Steve's Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's get those stories from the trash. What's going on, Steve?
Well, as you said earlier, Preston, Kim Kardashian agreeing to freeze her Facebook and Instagram accounts for 24 hours to protest hate and misinformation. Kim says her only social media presence will be on OnlyFans, where she'll be posting graphic beaver shots. Cardi B has filed documents seeking custody of her 2-year-old daughter, Culture, in a divorce from Offset. Cardi attempted to bolster her case with the judge by claiming WAP stands for Wonderfully Attentive Parent.
Oh, yeah.
And finally, Britney Spears calling out the lawyers on a conservatorship legal team. Spears says they have consistently ignored her input ever since they once saw her attempting to bite a cloud. That's your Hollywood Trash.
All right, let's see if we can get an answer to this question. What fictional dragon is Rambo's favorite? Had to have heard it earlier this morning. I will go to Clinton for the answer. Clinton, good morning.
I'm your party player, bitch.
I love it. All right, do me a favor. What fictional dragon is Rambo's favorite?
Smaug.
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 That's correct, Clinton. Hang on. We are going to give you a $50 Bonefish Grill gift card. Bonefish Grill helps make feeding families easy and delicious this fall season. Check out their expanded menu featuring all-time favorites, new surf and turf pairings, and also family bundles starting at $30 for up to 5 people.
They're really good.
Order online at bonefishgrill.com. Delivery from DoorDash and Uber Eats or dine-in whenever you are ready.
Now, Preston and Steve's Music View on 93.3 WMMR. Yeah!
Brought to you by Salus University. Salus University offers some of the fastest and growing and highest paid professionals, health professionals in the country, including optometry and audiology. And Salus University, the future of health sciences since 1919. And you can apply at salus.edu. Corey Taylor will celebrate the release day of his first solo album, CMFT. On October 2nd, with a global streaming event called Forum or Against Them, which will be shot at the iconic Los Angeles venue, The Forum, so therefore The Forum or Against Them.
Right.
Tickets for the pay-per-view streaming event are on sale now online at watch.thecoreytaylor.com. And fans can also purchase ticket bundles that include a T-shirt, hoodie, poster, and access to watch an exclusive Corey Taylor acoustic set. A limited number of one-on-one video chats with Corey Taylor are also available with some bundles. And Former Against Them will be a full arena production with a set list featuring all the tracks from CMFT, select fan favorite cuts from Slipknot and Stone Sour catalogs, as well as a handful of covers and guest performances from the Cherry Bombs.
So have you done any of these? Have you watched any of these special events? Did you watch the drummer event?
I did not watch the Modern Drummer salute to Neil Peart. Now, it will still be available for the next few weeks.
Okay.
So I might eventually check that out. I would
get
like
around to it.
See what some of the other drummers had to say. By the way, there is an interview with Corey Taylor and Sarah Parker of the Jackson Show fame, if you would like to check that out, at WMMR.com.
Sarah does an awesome job with his video stuff and, like, the rock update and all that stuff. She's really good on camera and always good with the information.
Agreed. Alter Bridge is readying a new EP called Walk the Sky 2.0 for a November 6th release. The project includes six live tracks that were recorded at shows the band played in the beginning of this year. And
I thought you said recorded at shows. I was like, what, downstairs?
Hey,
well, the conference why do you do?
Why you do? Why you record?
It's a captive crowd.
Yeah. Are these really VHS tapes?
They still have them down there. There is also a brand new song
live from the Joe's Conference Center.
Last Rites, which was written and recorded during the pandemic lockdown. Ozzy Osbourne is set to end the summer with the release of the 40th anniversary expanded digital edition of his debut album, Blizzard of Oz, and digital versions of two classic long-form videos, Live and Loud and Live at Budokan. The 40th anniversary edition of Blizzard of Oz is due out on Friday, and there will be some new bonus tracks that come along with that. So never available before, live versions of I Don't Know, Crazy Train, Mr. Crowley, Revelation, Mother Earth, Steal Away the Night.
On one of those bonus tracks, he actually attempts to say digital.
Suicide Solution and You Said It All. So those are new live tracks never heard before that will be on there. Metallica guitarist Kirk Hammett admitted that he and his bandmates are far too bonded to each other to ever split. During a chat with the Daily Star, Hammett explained that Metallica is firmly entrenched into one another's lives. He said, we've definitely survived so much and have become brothers. We love one another, even if we sometimes hate each other as well. But that's the way it is with brothers. We realize that we are bound to one another for the rest of our lives. I could say I'm leaving Metallica, and then what? Everyone would look at me and say, hey, that's the Metallica guy. Hammett went on to say that communication between the band is solid these days. Said we hold a virtual meeting once a week to keep in touch. Said James is working his way out of his situation, meaning yes. rehab and so on.
And apparently he's doing very well.
We can really only try to support him. Whenever something happens to a band member like this, it's so deeply unsettling. It comes as a shock. You have to do a bit of scrambling just to cover some ground. He added that James seemed like he was fine. But then you look back and you try to analyze the situation over time and see where the red flags were. And being on the road can be very challenging. And I would imagine for James to get up there in front of all those people and have to be on. Meanwhile, your family's not with you and all these things are going on. It builds up.
As you can imagine.
As you can imagine.
What's that, James?
He's changed.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
Sounds a little bit different these
as
days.
As you can imagine. Give them fuel, give them fire, give them... as you can imagine.
I need to watch that video.
Of intern Ben?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Wait.
As you can imagine.
Was that a clip?
No, that was me.
Oh, okay. I thought that was him.
As you can imagine.
Hey, you know what old classic...
So let me get this straight. You wore just a revealing top and you got an A+.
Outrage.
This is goddamn ridiculous.
Ben just realizing that moment and how the world tilts towards the attractive.
That won our last Daily Rush madness, didn't it?
It did, yes. And Ben actually was one of the biggest lobbyists for it. Yeah.
He wanted it to win, most definitely.
Yeah.
As you can imagine.
One last story. Deftones have dropped a teaser for the second album of their new album, Ohms. The track is titled Genesis and will premiere online this Friday at midnight. Ohms will be released on September 25th. That's all I have to say about that. All right. We're going to take a break because that's it for music news. And we have one more order of business to handle. And that is the letter of the day, word of the week. When we get back, Brent Porsche will have that for you, and then he takes over after us. We'll return in a moment. Stay with us. Hey, gang. It's safe to say we've never seen anything quite like 2020.
Challenging, uncertain, unprecedented. Go ahead. Pick an adjective, any adjective. We'll wait.
We've been through a lot, probably with more to come, but we've stuck together like Philly always does.
It's pretty easy to feel helpless, but there are a few things we can do.
Like social distancing, avoiding large crowds, and wearing a mask when you're out in public.
It might seem like a pain, but it's nothing compared to what some people are dealing with.
So let's do the things we can do while we have to, and we'll get this great city and great country back to normal.
A message from your friends at 93.3 WMMR.
Putting Philly first.
I think it was yesterday. Billy Corgan has opened up a little tea shop.
How nice.
And teas and vegan and gluten-free fare
and
in
ribs.
Chicago. And ribs. Oddly enough, you got to throw something in there for
the meat eaters.
The meat eaters in there.
It's very interesting teas and vegan menu items and ribs.
I'd go, you know what, I need to go to Chicago sometime. Yeah. I haven't been there in ages, and if I were there, I'd go by a Billy Corgan establishment on the off chance that maybe he's there or something like that, you know? I don't know. Overdue for a trip. I was just looking at a picture of Chicago with their, the sun setting. Somebody had gotten,
how does that look?
It was wild because they got a great photo from the whole city sky. Chicago's skyline is beautiful. And they got it from a pretty far distance off, and the sun is right above it. And it is just wild looking, man. Wild looking with
all
that.
Is it sunny outside now? We can't tell.
I don't know. Brent, is the sky clear? Because it looks cloudy to me.
It's funny because I didn't even realize that the windows were tinted until you guys said something. Even though you mentioned it yesterday, I'm like,
right.
Yeah. But no, the sun was out for a little bit, but it doesn't look like it's shining
off
the cars down there. Yeah, it looks kind of overcast.
All right. We can't tell.
We can't tell.
Flat out.
We're living a lie. We're living a complete lie.
This is going to be a disaster for the grandmometer.
Yeah.
We'll never, we just can't use it anymore.
No, we're not going to be able to.
We're moving into better temperatures.
Yeah.
Grandmometer's more a product of the summer.
We'll deal with that next year. I want to thank Joe Frost, Super Nanny, for being on the show. New episode of Super Nanny are airing on Tuesday at 8 p.m. on Lifetime. So you'll be able to see her there. Thanks to Mike and Alex on Fox 29. We popped on there today. Had a little flirtatious thing going on.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of fun.
We're all getting turned on. More about Mike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mike is not afraid to hit on police when they're transporting a perp into the hospital. And it led to a relationship.
How much longer before he's doing it with the hostage negotiator?
That's a good point. Mike's got some game, though, man.
He does, yeah.
He's good like that.
Yeah.
How are you, Brent Porsche?
I'm doing well, thanks.
Excellent. All right, let's take care of the letter.
Yeah.
I remembered to do that today, so here we go.
Preston and Steve on 93.3 WMMR.
Now, the Daily Letter.
And it is the Preston Steve Show is brought to you today by the letter.
By the letter E is in everything that rocks.
All right, and we have two more to go before we give away a $300 Visa gift card from Ardent Credit Union. Where free checking pays you cash. Visit ardentcu.org. I thoroughly enjoyed the double shot of Iron Maiden yesterday.
Yeah.
We were sitting in here listening to Run to the Hills.
We did. I think it was a rush into Iron Maiden.
Yeah,
right?
It was awesome, man.
Hell yeah.
I heard Big Money. What did you play before that? Do you remember? It was Tom Sawyer.
Tom Sawyer, yeah.
Big Money is in my top three favorite Rush songs.
It's a great song.
And that's from what album?
It is from, hold on a second, Power Windows?
Power Windows, you're correct. Somebody yesterday was blowing me up on the texter saying that it was from Moving Pictures and swore that it was from Moving Pictures.
No,
Power
on.
Windows.
Pshaw, please. What's up on the show today?
Man, we got some workforce blocks. Buck Cherry, we're going to be celebrating the 12th anniversary of their fourth studio album called Black Butterfly, which was released today. A Perfect Circle. I don't know the last time we did a block of A Perfect Circle. But
wow.
The 17th anniversary of their sophomore album, 13 Steps. We're going to be highlighting stuff from that. And we're going to be doing Cheap Trick featuring a cool cover of the Beatles.
Come on. I forgot who's in A Perfect Circle.
Maynard.
Yep.
Maynard. That's right.
From Tool.
Yep.
And 13 Steps pays homage to the Thriller album, right? The song Thriller.
Oh, because to the song Thriller?
Yeah, I think so.
Or is it?
I'm making that up, but that would be cool, though, because you hear 13 steps before the drum beat hits.
Right.
That's
that
right.
About?
That, huh? Mm-hmm.
Who knows? All right. Well, I want to thank our sponsors. The Preston and Steve Show has been brought to you today by Acme Markets, Fresh Foods, Local Flavors, and also Dunkin', official coffee of the Preston and Steve Show. Tomorrow on the program, our buddy Robert Irvine.
Yes.
Celebrity chef will be jumping on the show. Comedian Jared Freed. And at long last, ladies and gentlemen, tomorrow, Kathy's fall activities.
Yes.
You'll have the list. You'll be growing chickens in your home before you know it.
Unbelievable.
Oh, I got to get home to roast rotate them.
Yep, you do. All right, that is it. We are done. Rage on. Have a great day. And we'll see you tomorrow, gang. Bye-bye.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
All right, guys, I am the New Jersey driver who hates New Jersey drivers. Let me tell you why. This hat decides it would be cool to drive around and go in and out of non-passing lanes, not using a blinker. It's because of you.
Damn it.
Next message.
This is a shout out to all you that are listening to 933 WMMR right now. Have a great day, mother.
Next message.
Everybody with every plate in every state is a all the time. You all drive like an idiot. I swear to learn to drive.
The Preston and Steve Love You, Hate You Line.
Call 484-434-1333.
MMR rocks.
Brought to you by DellToyota.com and DellChevrolet.com.
Jack, sell them for less.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.